can't have that. You can't have a cold head. You bought gloves as well.
That's freezing, mate.
You've gone fucking soft, you.
I wear gloves. I'm in the mornings.
Gold. Nah, but Queensland makes you soft.
It does. It does, eh? It makes you soft, mate.
You know, it's not good. Anyway, let's get into this. Got me drink there, look. There we go. EMF's in the background. That's fine.
That's it.
All right. Well, is it? Welcome back, everybody, to yet another episode of the Raw Knowledge Podcast. Raw conversations with real people. And today I'm back with another talented guest, someone from back home, Mr. Rob Clark.
How you going, mate?
Hey, I'm sound. Thanks for joining me this morning.
That's all right, eh?
I appreciate it. You got your gloves, you got your coffee.
Got my gloves, yeah. Got my hat on. Keep me warm.
What more could you want? That's Did it. You run here?
No, I walked here this morning, right? Right, yeah,
fair enough. I'll let you off.
Took it easy this morning.
As you do.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, for the people who might not be aware of who you are and what you do, give us a bit of an intro. Tell us who you are, what you do, and more importantly, why you do it.
Yeah, my name's Rob Clark. I'm on the Gold Coast. I'm a distance runner. Basically, I run all different types of distance at the minute. I'm just focusing on the marathon. Mainly just for a bit of a different challenge, because I've raced ultra races and trail races for a few years, and then back on the marathon scene, just for a bit more competition, to be honest, eh?
There you go.
Yeah.
And you just had one recently, didn't you?
I did, yes. I just finished second in the Brisbane Marathon up in Queensland, and I had a good run. It's been a while.
Excuse the pun.
Yeah, I've had a good run, yeah. It's been a while. It's been like, what, last race was the GC 50 in December, so yeah. Probably 6 months.
Ah.
Yeah, so I mean, races are far in between at the minute with the COVID and all that sort of stuff, so you just got to try and keep yourself motivated, eh?
Yeah, it's been a bit like that.
It has.
You feel like you're a bit out of touch sometimes, isn't it?
With many, in
many respects, etc., you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, all sports are the same at the minute. I suppose, like, you're missing your mates as well, because you're not seeing the same people you race against. And like, you know, you feel it's a bit like you're on your own most of the time these days when you're training. You know, so you either just get it done or sit home and watch Netflix, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Exactly. like most people do.
Yeah, that's about it, yeah.
Okay, no, which is no good. Guys, for people listening as well, we've got a bit of ambience because we're at EMF, so we've got a little bit of fucking...
Bit of background noise.
Bit of background music, but these mics, we're testing them out. They'll be sorted, mate. We'll fucking sort this and any EMF in the background.
Yeah, all good.
What I want to talk about, though, is, well, first of all, I want to go back to childhood, where you grew up, back in the UK, because obviously life is very different back there. I want to talk a little bit about that, but also any, perhaps, protagonists that got you into running. Were there any events, were there any people that inspired you, like going right back to where it started?
Well, basically, I started just at school, you know, school cross country. Just a bit of a kind of, you know, stick you in the team, see how you go. And I wasn't really that keen on it, you know what I mean? Because it's not for kids, is it? You know what I mean? To be honest, come on. All the games you can play in sports, running's probably like the worst.
Well, there's no implement, is there? There's no bike, there's no ball. It's just like, what, run? All right, but what for? So, but I'm not chasing anything.
So you're not having a laugh with your mates because you're on your own, you know, your lungs are busting, you're outside, it's freezing cold, and it's like, you're in a team, and you're like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, you got to turn up because the teachers tell you to. So anyway, I turned up and started doing all right at it. Started winning straight away. Just by a bit of a fluke, you know what I mean? And just a bit of natural talent, I guess, from running about. I suppose it's chasing your brothers and sisters about everywhere, you know what I mean? So that's how I basically first started running. I never liked running, to be honest.
Were your mum and dad into it or anything like that?
No, my parents never did it. I heard my dad ran when he was younger, but you know, like it gets forgotten over the years, doesn't it? Because I mean, everyone gets a job, they go working, you know, living a lifestyle or whatever, and it just, you know, gets forgot about. Because something you did 25 years ago, no one mentions, did it?
No, not unless they did really well.
Yeah.
And they sort of bring it, oh, I remember that, or back in my day, or I did this when I was this.
Yeah,
was
because it. I never seen my dad run, so I always think, you know, maybe not.
But he used to run, you're like, yeah, bollocks.
Yeah, he's a fit bloke, and I mean, I've got, like, you know, three brothers, and none of them run, and I was just good at it. I guess so. So just a bit of luck, but I never liked running, even through school, high school, hated running. You know what I mean? It was like I always got picked for it.
So you were, you mean like you were good at it, but you didn't enjoy it?
I didn't enjoy it at all.
But you were all right at it, obviously.
Yeah, it was great at it. I mean, I ran in national championships in the UK, and but I never liked it. I mean, I ran everything from 100 metres to cross country.
Yeah.
But, like, I used to get picked every week for the 400, and I was good at the 400, but I absolutely hate it, because the last 100 metres, your lungs are just flying out, you know, and you're dying all the way to the line.
I get it. It's because it's hard, isn't it? Like, you're good at it, and part of you is like, yeah, I am good at it, I kind of like it, but then you're like, oh, but I don't want to go through the fatigue and the pain and all that.
It's just hard work, and I mean, at high school as well, because you're good at something, you do get a lot of jealousy from your mates or whatever, you know, people. People are like that. No matter what you do in life, whatever, you know, age you are, if you're good at something, there's always the negatives. You know what I mean? Or there's always the experts who are telling you should be good at something. Mm. Or this is how you need to do it. And then you think, well, why aren't you doing it then? Well, you know, what's going on here? Mm. So, just one of them, I. Just good at it. Got into running. And I've always ran, so. But now I like it now. It's weird.
Was there a chapter, was there an event where that occurred, where you were like, I enjoy it, or do you think it's just been a slow transition over time? And no, you just sort of went one day, you know what, actually all right, or was it a definitive, like, you know what, I'm into this now?
No, you know what it was? I boxed for a long time, and when I retired, I sort of thought, well, I need something to do, because if you got nothing to do, or if you're a sporty person, you got no focus, you just end up, you either sitting at home, going down the pub with the boys, and that's about it. And I remember I was on Edges Avenue, and I thought, oh, I'll go for a run today. And because I was good at something 20 years ago, I thought, oh, this would be a doddle, 10K run doddle. And I went for a run, and I got about 2K, and I was knackered. And I was like, oh, what's going on, you know what I mean? Like, where's all my fitness gone?
Conditioned.
I'm destroyed.
I mean, saying that though, you boxing, I mean, you've got to be fit to be a
fighter,
though.
You're fit, but you're also heavier because you've got more muscle mass. Mm. So, you know, now I've probably dropped off 15K.
How competitive were you when you were fighting?
I boxed professionally, so...
So with that, so you were running and you sort of, the boxing was more of a, that took precedence initially. How old were you?
Well, I done my leg when I was about 15, 16. Mm. So I boxed when I was little because, you know, my parents were kind of like that. My dad was a bit like that, you know what I mean? Yeah, stick these gloves on. Just get into it. You got three brothers to bash up there, get stuck in. So it was one of them. And then I did my leg when I was about 15, something like that. And I remember, like, I thought, right, I can't run. What am I going to do?
What did you do to it?
I was playing soccer, because I was pretty good at that as well.
As you do, football, mate.
Yeah, and I got slide tackle off the goalkeeper
and
shattered my calf.
Right.
So I was like, you never run on it again. You can't do that. You know, like the doctors and the physios. And you sort of go, oh, better not do that then. So I went down the gym. I thought, I'll do some weights or something. You know, because at that age, and like you're watching TV, Arnie Schwarzenegger's on in all the movies, and you sort of go, all right, yeah, do some weights. So I was down at a boxing gym, doing some weights. I wasn't boxing.
Yeah.
But the coach came past, and he goes, oh, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm doing some weights, you know what I mean? He says, oh, well, when your leg's better, why don't you come in the boxing gym? And I thought, oh, go on then. So you start chatting to the lads, jump in, you know what I mean? And like, you think, oh, I must be good at this.
Kiss, kiss, bang, bang.
Yeah, so he's an old geezer, he's about 60 odd, you know what I mean? He goes, yeah, jump in the ring, have a spar. And I thought, I'll smash you at bits, mate, you know what I mean? So I jumped in, and I couldn't hit him. Literally couldn't even put a glove on him, mate. He was just dodging everything, and I thought, shit, there's more to this, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I started learning that, and I got into the boxing, and then boxed a few times. And then when I finished up, like I say, I thought, I'll go back to running. I was pretty good at that when I was younger. You know what I mean? So, signed up for my first, I think it was a 10K at the Gold Coast Marathon. Mm. And I did all right. I ran about 35 minutes, first goal. I thought, hey, it's not bad that, you know what I mean? Like, 35 minutes, if I can knock another five off, I will be right in there.
Mm.
So I've just sort of got into that. Started getting into more racing, trail racing, and you just get better and better. You just got to stick at something. That's all there is to it.
Consistency.
Consistency.
A hidden ingredient to success.
Yeah, that's all it is, mate. If you believe in something and you're consistent at something, then, you know, there's nothing stopping you. I reckon everybody's good at something.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You've got to be, haven't you? Yeah. Like, we're all slightly different. We all gravitate towards different skill sets. We've all got strengths and weaknesses, physically and mentally. Yeah. It's like, you're going to be good at something.
That's what I mean. Like, you know, everyone's a different shape and size. But you see some people doing a certain sport and you think, straight away, you think that's not for you, right? But I mean, who are you to say that?
If you enjoy, there's a point where you go, well, if you might not be making loads of money or great at it, but you might enjoy it and do it. But the thing that you generally, if you are going to be successful at it, there needs to be some level of,
yeah, but
you are good and, you know, you can get paid for it to some degree.
But then he's like, I've seen lads, when I first seen them, they were like, what were you, kilos, let's say, over 100 kilo.
Mm.
And you think, mate, you're not made for running. You know what I mean?
Like,
and then 3 years later, they're rocking up at the start line, 20 kilos lighter.
Mm.
And you think, hey, well, you know, the next minute they're winning things.
Mm.
And you think, well, maybe I was wrong by judging you in the first place. You know what I mean? Who am I to say that you can't do
whatever?
That's
it. So there are anomalies.
Of course there is, yeah.
And sometimes those people are the people who set the trend and innovate the future, like Earl Fosbury. The guy did the high jump. He was the first one to do that flop
over, and everyone was
like, what's that? And then now it's like a standard.
Yes, I mean, have you ever seen anyone jump differently, though? You know what I mean? That's like the thing, isn't it?
Well, it was a scissor kick, though.
Yeah, it was a scissor kick.
And then he threw himself over backwards, and they all went, what's that? And the Fosbury flop is now like, that's your standard now.
Yeah, if you
I'm
did
waiting
it today,
for someone to do something different.
If you
different.
Did it today, it'd be illegal, wouldn't it? It'd be like, oh, no, you can't do that.
Oi! What's he doing? Diving over it? Is he diving on it head first?
Yeah,
it's a new one.
Yeah, that's it.
It's all the suicide.
But it's... There is a lot like that. It is an anomaly in sport.
And sometimes you can find the gaps. Like I always think with, and I'm not well versed in basketball, but I played when I was a kid. Like, and I thought, well, you know, everyone's really tall in basketball. And I know there's a shorter player for a different position. Again, I don't know the names for people who are listening into basketball. But I just thought, and if you just shut a really fucking small guy in like myself, who's really quick, dribble down the court, surely no one's ever going to get the ball off you. You know, because you're that low and you're that quick and you just offload it to the tall fellas and bang, bang. But I mean, maybe I'm oversimplifying.
No,
it's easier to look from the outside.
It's like all sports. If you look at, let's say, rugby, there's always the little geezer who can fly, isn't there? Or AFL.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, look at Gary Ablett. If you've seen him, you'd go, oh, he's not built like an AFL player. Yet he's one of the greatest ever. Because he's so quick and agile on his feet that he just makes people look stupid. You know what I mean? So... It's just one of them. But then if you, like, let's take Rocky Marciano, you know what I mean? Have you ever seen a thing on him? He had the shortest reach in boxing history, and he was the shortest, smallest heavyweight ever, right? So you think, all right.
So everything's like, you're not going to do well at this, you're
so
not
you
built
think,
for this.
But you think, right, I've got a 20-centimetre reach advantage. There's no way you're beating me, mate. You're not even going to get near me. But he trained himself that hard that he could, you know, he could hit his hands through walls, let's say, you know what I mean?
Fucking
so he'd just walk through you, he'd walk you down. Eventually, you'd knock him down five or six times, but eventually he'd get you.
So
you can,
resilience.
Because you couldn't
take
keep him off in the end. Yeah.
So he'd basically take a good walloping.
Good walloping, yeah. Jeez. And like, he'd just keep marching forward. So, I mean, someone
resilience.
Like that is scary in the first place, because if you knock him down two or three times and he's getting up,
you're thinking, shit.
You're thinking, shit, man, I should have stayed at home tonight. You know what, I mean?
What else have I got? What else have I got in the goodie bag?
Basically.
Well, tell us about, because you said when you first started the marathon, you were here in the Gold Coast. I want to talk about where you grew up. I want people to kind of realise the difference demographically and geographically in terms of how you grew up as a kid, what it was like, and then what it was like moving here and when and why you moved to Australia. If that was the next stage, maybe there was other things in between it.
Yeah, it's
like
where I grew up
as a picture.
Yeah, where I grew up, it's pretty it's cold, as you know, and hilly, basically.
Hilly.
And
hilly,
and I mean everyone's like in a, let's say a routine, everyone's stuck in a routine, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And it's dark all the time. So you wake up in the dark, you
like
go home in
now,
the dark.
Overcast out there.
yeah, you wake up, you go home in the dark, and yeah, it's basically, it's a totally different world, to be honest. I mean, a lot of Australians love the UK because of the old architecture.
The culture, the history.
And the well, they say that, the culture and the history, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like Australia's got its own culture and history if you look into it.
Yeah, it just doesn't go back as far.
Yeah, but I mean, if you ask any random on the Gold Coast a random question about the Gold Coast, they wouldn't know anything about it.
But no.
Do you know what I mean? Like the beer garden.
Yeah.
It used to be a zoo, for one.
Are you on about in surface?
Yeah. It used to be a bear pit.
A what?
A bear pit. They used to have bears in there, yeah. You know what? No shit. You know, as you go up the stairs, right, the stairs, that's why it's elevated, because that used to be looking so you could see the bears for the zoo. I swear down on my life.
Jeez.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know that. But I mean, I looked it up and I was like, oh, really?
Oh, I know. How long was this ago?
Oh, I would have been there. 50s, maybe.
Oh, right.
40s, 50s, okay. Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
So that, and you used to have a train track, a proper train that ran through Southport.
I heard about that, because they ripped it up, and that's why they have only go when they put the trams back. And you said, oh, we had this before. Like,
yeah, well, when
different.
You see, that as you come into, like, the Gold Coast Highway, there's a train painting on one of the buildings.
Yeah, yeah,
it's like a mural or something. And you go, oh, I wonder what that's for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're the things about, you know, where you live. You should know everything about where you live.
Well, you should. It's good to know the history of where you're from, or at least a little bit about the culture, the heritage, what's been, what's gone, to some degree.
Of course it is.
So.
Well, I mean, you're here, so you're making, you know, you got family, you're making future with your family.
Yeah.
Everyone should know where they're from or what they're doing.
Yeah. You want to invest in it.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, just things like that. So. You know, I've got a 16-year-old lad now, so he's almost a man, let's say. Thinks he's already a man.
He's 16, he's bulletproof, mate.
Yeah, bulletproof at 16, eh? That's it. So he's on his little path, doing his little thing, so, you know, it's just one of them, isn't it?
Mm.
But, yeah. And that's...
But you were telling us about back home.
Yeah, so back home is... Well, you know yourself, it's...
Oh, I know what it's like.
I was
in, what, Widnes, near Liverpool, in Warrington, in between, sort of thing. You were a bit more north, weren't you?
Yeah, up in Manchester, yeah. So it's, as you know, it's...
Want to run around the wrong place there?
You can't go out. Well, I couldn't go out for a run, you know what I mean? You have to run at night when all the gangs are away, pretty much, because it's safer. It's
which
safer
seems,
to run at night.
Which seems backward, doesn't it, really?
Yeah. I mean, you go out and run in a day, there's people, you know, gangs on street corners, you're a teenager, you know, you're not going to get far without getting beat up, you know what I mean? Mm. So it's funny, when I look back, I did all, like, I trained at night. I remember coming out of my house, like, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, because I knew everyone was in, you know, people having a dinner.
Mm.
So you think, all right, there's nobody out, I'll go for a run now, you know what I mean? So then you can get your running and your training and get home.
Did you have any certain specific routes that you'd always go, which you knew, all right,
yeah,
I'm probably not going to get any trouble in?
Yeah, I used to go down my main road, and then there was like a big iron bridge. So I go up there. It was an industrial area, so there's no...
specifically?
Just in Manchester. So near Trafford Park and whatnot.
Right,
and it's kind of like, it's just industrial units. So basically, there's nobody on the street corners.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you go for a run around the shops or the housing estates, or, and it's not just the gangs, it's the piss taking. If you're out for a run, you must be a mong, pretty much. And you think, what? Because I'm doing something I like doing.
Yeah.
And you just
want
to sit here and pretend you're like 10 men.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? And it is a bit disheartening. And I reckon it's like that for a lot of young athletes over there, because you take so much stick, you know what I mean? Even off your parents, like, you'll take stick off your parents because they think, because they're set in their ways or they're, you know, living their life, I want to be a runner, you think, what's the point of that?
Mm.
You ain't going to make no money doing that, or it's just a waste of time.
Mm.
Not, oh, I love it, Dad, or, and you go, whoa, brilliant, I'm glad you love something you do. You know what I mean? That's how it should be. You should be thinking, whatever,
Yeah, my lad that's like the culture, the way you take the piss back.
Well, that's it. But well, we take the piss here, don't we? Well, out of each other.
Well, yeah. But it's, that usually is a sign we like it.
Yeah, you know, that's it. That's kind of the more piss way take you it. Can take, the better, isn't it? But it's like my lad. I say to him, you know, do whatever you want to do, mate. I don't care if you want to be a YouTuber. You want to join the army, you want to clean toilets. I couldn't care, mate.
You want to give him
as long as you're happy.
Yeah, you want to give him that opportunity or give him that support that maybe you didn't get when you were younger. And be like, look, as long as you're happy and healthy, do whatever makes you
happy. Do whatever you want to do, mate. That's all I cared about. Mm. Hey, I remember like my first job, right? I worked as a sewing machinist, right? And I was good at it, which is really bad.
What sort of sewing were you doing? Like, what were you doing? Like, what were you creating?
I was doing shell suits, if everyone knows what they are. Right, so this is
with the
90s.
Gold chain on the...
This is the
you
90s.
Bloody beauty. And for people who don't know, think Little Britain.
Yeah, shell suits and Liverpool
Andy
tops.
Andy and Lou.
Liverpool tops in Manchester.
That would have been good.
So I was making those as well.
That would have been good.
And it's like, I was doing that, and I was really good at it, and I was on like... Or put him on price work, he's really good, you know what I mean? So you're getting paid per tracksuit pretty much.
All right.
And I worked there for about 3 or 4 months. And then I looked around one day and I thought, bollocks, this is not for me, man. I can't do this. You know what I mean? I was on good money, but I was like, fucking, what's this? Yeah. It was me and about 200 women, which sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Well, exactly.
But I was like, oh, I can't handle this, man. So I just got up and I walked out. And clocked my card out, and the manager's like, where are you going? I said, I'm going, I can't do this. I've got to do me. I'm not happy, I'm depressed. Do you know what I mean?
I
remember going home, and my mum giving me a right rollicking. Like, she was like...
Because you've walked away from a
pretty much,
paying
or you've
job.
Walked away from a job, what are you going to do now? You need another job. And I thought, well, fuck, I don't want a job. I want to be a sportsman, or I want to do what I want to do.
And at that point, it was running.
Yeah, I did running, and I was in the building game as well. The building's all right. You know what I mean? Young fellas, trades are good.
Yeah.
Because...
Teach you a lot of life skills.
You make good mates. You make good money. You get out and see different things.
It's practical, isn't it? Hands on. For men,
that's
I think,
what
as
it
well.
Is. Yeah, and
we
it's
like
creative
that, we? We're a bit
well,
more
it?
Like kinesthetic.
And it can be creative. And it was good for training as well. You know what I mean? So, like, you carry 20 blocks up 10 flights of stairs... People look at you and go, fuck, he must be working hard. But if you think of it as, oh, I'm doing some extra training here, then you're getting paid for going to gym, pretty much. Mm. So, I mean, it's like that, isn't it? So you're getting something for what you're doing. So I think that's good.
Yeah, well, it is, you know. And then I suppose, in that, what age were you at this point then? When you'd sort of walked away from this sewing. And this was obviously you were still
back
home.
Oh, yeah, it would have been about 18, something like that, 18, yeah.
Did you ever get any trouble back home when you were running?
What, fight-wise?
Yeah, or anyone?
Oh, every day, mate, yeah, it was always fighting, mate.
Right.
You're always getting in fights, aren't you? Because, I mean, it is...
Well, I suppose if you had the boxing background, you're probably a little bit more... You were either predisposed to it, or you were going, unless I have to.
Yeah, I don't know, I was a bit wild, to be honest, eh? Because, I mean, like, I come from a big Irish family, so it's kind of like... It's just the norm. So you get it's the norm. You think it's the norm because all your mates are doing it. So you go, I can get in on it. You know what I mean? I'm
Well, you were telling me about that story the other day where those lads were going to knock you off in the fucking.
Yeah.
You know. With the
that's it. Yeah. And you think you know, Jesus. Like it happens all the time.
But because they knew you from the council estate, you were. Right.
Yeah, but I realised at a certain time in my life that this wasn't for me. You know what I mean? It was kind of, we were in the pub one night. I didn't drink much, you know what I mean? I was a young bloke, but I wasn't getting levered like the boys. Mm. But I mean, you couldn't afford it anyway. It's expensive, isn't it, over there? So, but I remember I was in the pub and a young lad ran in and he goes, oh, I've had my coat nicked and my phone. I mean, it was about 5 or 6 of us. And we were like, who did it? You know what I mean? Because, it was these two, I'll say coloured lads, because... I do come from a big coloured area, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and you know, I've got a lot of mates and I was like, all right, yeah, we'll get them, you know what I mean? So we went out the club and I said, where did they go? He went, oh, up the road. So we ran up the road and there was two youths had been stabbed in the bus station off them. And I remember going, fuck this, you know what I mean? Pretty much. Let's say I'm going back to the pub, mate. I don't want none of this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is what it's coming to over the coat. Someone getting stabbed about 10 times in a bus shelter. And you think, for what? You know what I mean? Like, it's a different world. It's kind of hard, like I got my young fella and I'm so worried about him when he goes out here. I don't know why, because it's the safest place on earth. But when I was a kid, like, it's funny because my parents never worried about me. I could be out all night.
But that's kind of how it was.
Yeah, but I mean, they must have thought...
Not for everyone, but for a lot
of people. No, but I mean, they thought, oh, he must be all right, he can look after himself, you know what I mean?
Top love.
But here, mate, you know, he gets on the train up to, like, Brisbane, and I'm like, oh, make sure you ring me before you get there, or, you know, text me when you get on the train.
Yeah, well, you know, train station's back home, fucking hell.
I know, but really, you know, and the missus would be like, oh, you need to, like, chill out, he's going to be all right. And you think, well, yeah, he is in a safe place. And I mean, he does kung fu and boxing, and I mean, he can look after himself, so it's not like he's useless.
Exactly.
But it's just that I care so much about him. It's kind of like, you know, you just want him to be all right. And he's nearly a grown bloke, so I mean, it won't be too long before I'm getting the phone calls from surfers, is it? You know what I mean? Like, hey, pick me up, mate. I've been out with the boys. I'm like, bollocks, I'm sleeping, walk home.
Yeah. You'll be all right.
Yeah, you'll be all right. It's only 10 mile. Get on with it. But, yeah, so it's a different world, mate. And
so that's kind of, that was one of the instances where you thought, this is not for me. Yeah, you were still about 18 at that point.
Yeah, I mean, there's been heaps, mate, honestly. Like, I mean, it's pretty much every night.
Yeah.
If you go out into the town or whatever, there's something going on every night. I mean, I'll give you an instance. I was walking through the shopping centre, let's say. Would have been a Friday night. Me and my best mate, been best mates since we were like two or three, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there was a couple of lads outside the McDonald's.
Right. As you do.
And a couple of chicks. Right. So as we walked past them, they said something like, I can still vividly remember it because I've been out of the town. You know, like when you get flashbacks, you've been on the piss.
Yeah.
Just little bits like that, and it was, hey, dickheads, or hey, knobheads, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my mate's like, fuck you, idiot, like that, you know what I mean? But I didn't know them.
Yeah.
They were just trying to be big heads in front of the two birds, like you do, because I mean, everyone sort of does that when you're younger, you know what I mean? You grow out of it. And as we walk past, my mate's like, oh, fuck this.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you on about? He says, and he's in the bin. I'm like, what are you doing? He said, I'm getting a bottle. I'm going to go out and fucking do him with this bottle. And I was like, mate, like, don't know the dude. You know what I mean? I don't care.
Just leave.
Just because he said, like, you know, knobheads. Who cares, mate? I don't know him.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, I won't even remember what he looked like.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? I said, let's just go home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah.
Just to try to be big. I said, next minute, cops will be there. We'll all get locked up. We'll all be in, not, you know, lock up for the evening. Whatever. All because someone said something and you want to be a big head about it. You know what I mean? And I think that's when we started drifting away, me and my mate. We're still mates, but you sort of think, well, you need to grow up a bit, mate. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it's not for me.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's just another example. I mean, there's hundreds. You just keep going. You're just lucky that you came out the other side, you know what I mean?
This is true, because a lot of people don't have it that lucky.
No. I mean, there's been a lot of lads, you know, who never got that far, let's just say. Mm. And you sort of look back and think, well, I'm lucky, you know what I mean?
They got involved, too involved, with the wrong people.
Yeah, of course you do. Yeah, I mean, there is that side of it, isn't there? You know? So, and it's just stupidity sometimes.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You just realise that there's more to life than that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I don't know why. I think it's just like you either do grow up, but then there's some blokes who never grow up. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, I was watching the news the other week and some dude got done for, like, smuggling drugs or whatever. He was, like, 50. And I thought, 50? Like, you've either made your money and you should be out of it, or you're too old and you should be having a family and getting on with it, mate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, what's wrong with the people and the minds? You know what I mean?
There's a lot like that.
You never grow up.
There's a lot like that out there.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's another thing, isn't it? The human mind is a weird thing.
Very.
You know what I mean? Like,
very intricate.
Yeah, it's just one of them, isn't it? Well, you've got to find an hobby, haven't you?
Well,
you need a hobby.
You need something to keep you going. You need somewhere to put your energy, your time. And that's where, again, a muse or something like that comes involved, whether it's grandiose, whether it's big, small, whether you're good at it or not, if you enjoy it, it's somewhere to put that energy. It's like training, it's therapy, isn't it? Like, if I didn't have the training or the music or other things that I like doing, you know, getting on my bike, it's like you go around a bend and you've got all this pent up energy, especially for blokes. And you sort of think, well, fuck, you need to have an outlet.
Yeah.
And it's an outlet, but some people get involved with obviously things that are not a good outlet, and then that sort of a domino effect, and then they get sort of caught up in the world, and next minute they're 10 years down the track. And
I think a positive attitude, surround yourself with positive people and have a positive attitude, and don't believe anything that anyone tells you. You know what I mean? Everyone will say you can't do this. Marathons, oh, you can't run that fast. You just use that. Yeah, I can. Watch this, you know what I mean?
It's fuel on the fire.
Yeah, of course it is.
But a lot of people as well, they don't... That's the... There you go. Co-owner of Crafted. Gary. Top
man. Gary Lock.
There you go. Hey, yep. Cheers, mate.
Got your coffee, mate.
Get him on here next. Yep. How to make the perfect coffee.
That's it. What it's like...
Guest appearance. But it's like... The thing is, people will always want to pull you down. Now, the culture is a little bit different here. It's different everywhere you go, but the thing that is unanimous is that there will be a select amount of people that always want to, you know, talk down. But the thing is, it's like that's the standard. Like, you don't want to please everyone. You can't please everyone. It's, even though we all subconsciously know it, a lot of us don't probably, we need to sort of believe that a little bit. We need to be a bit more anchored in our reality, shall we say. Because it's like, you know, someone's always going to be like, yeah, that's cool. Someone's going to be like, no, but that's a good thing. We're different. And like you said before, if someone calls you a knobhead, don't worry about it. Carry on. Walk on.
Well, everybody's different, aren't they? You know, the funny thing is, right?
Well,
I train at the gym here, right, now.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting fit, right? But years ago when I boxed, I remember I used to avoid places like this. Because I used to think, oh, there's too many, it's too posery for me. It's
too many people like me, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's too posery. Right? And honestly, I used to think that, I can't go in there, man. No one's got a sweat on, you know what I mean?
No one's got a sweat on.
I sort of realise now, as I've got older, that when I go to these places, like, everybody goes for their own well-being or their own mental state.
Hmm.
Some people join classes because they like people around them. They like to be in that environment because that's the only time they ever get to chat to anyone else.
Yep.
Is when there's other people in the class. And that's how you make friends, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? As you're a kid, you make friends. When you're a kid, you just go up to someone, don't you? Do you want to be my friend?
You don't, you're very naive, which is probably a good thing. You're very green, but yeah, like you said, you don't care about what other people think.
No.
And that sort of changes as you get older. And obviously, you want a bit of social calibration. You want to be able to, you know, read the situation. But you should never lose that sort of ability to go, if this is what I want to say and I want to go up to someone and, you know, you're not being an idiot, then it's like, yeah, go up and say what you want to say.
That's it. I mean, the only way you get afraid, somewhere you get is, fearful. Like, if you speak up, right? If you go for a job or a job interview, if you don't say no or you don't put yourself across, I mean, you don't want to put yourself across as a proper knobhead, like, I'm too full on. But you're trying to get the gig, aren't you?
Yeah.
But it's the same as, like, if you... Like, you see a lot of... You go to a bar, let's say, example. There's a load of dudes in the corner, and there's one chick.
Yeah.
Right, they're all sat there staring, right? She feels uncomfortable because she's thinking, fuck me, what are you all staring at me for? You know what I mean? I know I look great, but just chill out. Like, you look like a load of fucking desperados. But if one of yous just went up and went, hey, how you going? We've seen you, whatever... You know, you got 50-50 chance, haven't you, of getting somewhere?
Mate, you miss 100% of the shots you never take.
That's it. So, while you're all stood there, you know what I mean? I like to say, he who hesitates masturbates, pretty much, right?
Put that on a fucking billboard.
So, I mean...
Whoever hesitates masturbates.
That's it, mate. So, it's just one of those things, isn't it? But it's like, if you want to chat to someone or... Like, I go to the gym and I see people doing stuff, right? And a lot of people would feel uncomfortable just going, excuse me, mate.
How many have you got on
there? Yeah, I've seen you doing those squats. Like, can you show me how to do them? Right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, these days, a lot of people have earphones in.
Yeah.
So you feel a bit...
There's another barrier to entry.
Yeah, well, they're sort of saying, like, you know, I'm off limits. I'm fucking doing me. You know what I mean? But... You know, are they really? Or is it just because you don't want to hear all the crap that's going on in the outside? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like you say, it's all sport in general's psychology. So it's all about your mindset. But when I go into a race, if I pretend it's not a race, and I just think, I'm just going to get up this morning and have a run, I have the best day. I always get the best result.
Because you're not putting too much pressure on it.
Yeah, because I'm just running because I love it. But if I get up and I think, right, today I've got to fucking do this easy, it's, you're already using negative energy because you're burning energy thinking about it.
Perspective.
Yeah, and you can't sleep. You wear yourself out before you get there.
It's getting into that state, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's kind of like that. But I like going in the gym because I'm always learning something. I'm always thinking about something. You know what I mean?
You're observing.
Yeah, and I like everything. Like all sports got a similar setup. Weights is the same as running. You know what I mean? Like you'd think, sounds a bit funny, doesn't it? But you're doing sets. So like in running, I'm doing sets. I'm doing the same sets as you're doing, but I'm running and you're pushing weights. But it's still like 3 sets of 10. So I'm doing 10 1K repeats, you know what I mean? So I learn stuff like that. And if I see a new workout that someone's doing, I might transfer it into a running workout in my head just to test it out.
Right.
Just to see if it's any good.
Give me an example of that. That's interesting.
Well, let's say you're doing a pyramid. So you're doing like I do a pyramid. I don't do big heavy weights. But I do like a leg curl. So I do 10 at 40, 10 at 30, 10 at 20. And then I might go back up and do 10, 20, 10, 30, 10, 40.
I'm with you.
Like a pyramid.
Yeah.
So, and if I see anything new, then I'll try and transfer it into that. You know what I mean? So something that someone's doing, because you never know, there might be a benefit in it.
Yeah.
Or it might knacker you up, but unless you try it out, you just don't know, do you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's like weights. When you push weights, you sort of, the goal is to increase your weight, innit, and push more weight. You know what I mean? Build your body, whatever, but you want to
progressive overload.
Progressive the load, like.
Yeah.
And it's the same with running. If you do the same training session all year, that's as good as you get. So you need something new every now and again to get your body to work in a different way.
That's 3 forms of progression.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't go 100% all the time.
You can't go linear, no, exactly.
So you need to have certain specific sessions. Like a Wednesday, I do a speed work session.
Have you ever had any specific coaches with you running, or you just been self-taught most of the time?
No, I've had a few coaches over the years, but I find that I train my best on my own. Like I've had them. And like I've had some top coaches, you know, like proper elite super coaches. And I've ran worse. You know what I mean? And you think, fucking, what are you doing to me, mate? You know what I mean? Like you try and go through the training program with them. You know what I mean?
But sometimes you do know best. Sometimes.
Well, your body knows best, because like a lot of these coaches now, because everything's online, right? A lot of your coaches are not hands-on. So they'll say, right, here's your session this week.
People are missing that, you know.
Yeah.
People are missing that. That's why the one-on-one, it will become more prestigious.
It'll come back on,
It'll
come back.
I think it's there, but I think it will back as a mainstream.
If you look at the Australian results, right, let's say the marathon, for example.
Yeah.
Right. The best, I'm only going off what I'm thinking, so I can't be 100% accurate.
No, you're right.
You know what I mean? But the best times in, like, the last few years, since Di Castello and that, they've been like 212, 214.
Yeah.
Right. Di Castello and all those boys back in the 70s, 80s, with shit shoes, you know, they didn't have these carbon fibre plates. They were running 208s and stuff.
Yeah.
No, 20 years ago. So 20 years, it got worse. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What it is because either the coaches is not so many.
Well, the perhaps is, I mean, I don't know all the statistics as well because it's not my wheelhouse, but sometimes there's a lot of, it's like the principal KISS, right? Keep it simple, stupid. A lot of that now is getting a bit neglected, and sometimes we're getting too granular. We're getting too granular, and people are sort of like messing with things too much to the point where you're like, well, hang on a minute. Now you're probably just messing around with variables you don't need to, and maybe you're sort of shaking the tree a bit too much.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like one thing at a time, but then where are the improvements? And if it ain't broken, don't fix it. But
well, it's like, let's say,
variables.
I was watching the news last night, for example. Yeah. The swimming controversy was on, right?
Oh, right. Why? What's, I don't
know. They were on about, I don't want to get into too much to it, but it was like, I won't say abusing to women, let's say, but it was stuff that was normal to me. And I thought, 20 years ago, that was normal.
Yeah.
What's wrong with it now? One of them was, one of the lads who was training for the Olympic team had a milkshake, right?
Fair enough.
So the coach went, give me another 10 laps. And they said that was wrong.
Yeah.
And I was like, how many times when you was a kid that you fucking giving it this with your mates and the coach would say, right, another 10 laps of the football pitch?
Yeah.
It's normal. But that's like, they're trying to instill to you that you're trying to be an elite athlete.
Mate,
not here to drink milkshakes and dick about.
That's the problem with the fucking news, though. The way they twist everything, you don't know. But
well,
at the same time, that's what I mean. That's the problem with it, though. It's like all twisted.
I'm only going off what they're saying.
Yeah,
of course it is.
It's all twisted truth. But like, then maybe they're coming from the angle like, oh, that's sort of instilling an eating disorder, like saying
that's what they were saying.
If you're
that's what they were saying.
That's bad.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck, hang on a minute. No. It probably would have done him the world of good.
Yeah.
Having a milkshake probably would have fucking done a bit better. Well, they're that fucking lean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then the other controversy is like, where, you know, you could go on to it, couldn't you? Where did you get the milkshake from? Is it got illegal substances in it? Because some proteins have stuff that's banned.
Well, yeah, there are some supplements banned substances.
But so
it was just from Macca's, it would be all right.
I don't know what's in a Macca's one. Give you a supercharge, won't it?
Tell you that.
60,000 calories.
I tell you what, though. once upon a time in the UK, when I grew up, my cousin lived next door, but two or three anyways. I mean, granddad. Interesting setup. Anyway, ordered a McDonald's, innit? Fucking got home. We were all there. I think I was there. Round at my uncle's. And cousin opened a burger. He said it was a fucking pill on it. It's a pill on the burger.
Yeah.
She only opened it up because she didn't like the pickles. Otherwise, it would have been on there. He said there were fucking pills on them. Rang up. What's going on? So, I mean, it does happen.
Doesn't it?
Fucking, it does happen.
Well, that happens. I mean, it's... I think that mindset in training, like, needs to be brought back. Because I think, like, without suffering, you're not achieving your mindset. Do you know what I mean? Like,
there's a level of suck that you need to embrace.
That's what I mean. Like, if you can go through all the training motions, do all the times and all the splits and all that, right? But when race day comes and you're getting it hard on the hills, let's say, in a marathon or a 10K or whatever, right?
Yeah.
You're in pain. And the first thing your body wants to do is go, I want to go home, fucking had enough, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like wants to get out of it.
And you've got to talk yourself out of that.
Excuse me, yeah.
So you're like, fucking, you know, it's not that far now. You're constantly giving
self-talk. The best coach is the one inside your head, because you've all,
everyone's got it. I'll run a marathon, and I feel like I want to go home at 6K. I think, I should just pull out halfway. I'll be in the lead.
Yeah, but that's like, it. But you sort of push through these pain barriers, don't you?
Of course
you
do,
and you get like a second wind almost.
Yeah, it's a mental barrier. And then when you think, oh, there's only 5K to go, all of a sudden you feel like you just started again.
Exactly. I used to run a bit across country in New Zealand. And like you, I was good at it, but I hated it.
Yeah.
And because I was fit. Because I was doing martial arts, I was doing football, that's
yeah,
I was
you
doing
do,
racing.
Right.
And I was a bit of a competitive person. I always did all right. And I said, oh, you know, go to this. But I never pursued it because it wasn't really my jam.
Yeah.
But mate, I tell you, doing some of those runs, you're right, it's hard, man. Like when you really start to get to that point where your body's like pushing back.
Oh,
your
mate.
Lungs feel like you're going to explode, your temperature, you're pounding the pavement, your feet are aching, all this. And you just, it's resilience. But there is an element of that where you go, well, you can work as intelligent as you like, but at some point, you've got to go through the pain, you've got to do the work ethic. And that builds resilience. And it's like you were on about that boxer. You can be the best boxer in the world, but you've got to be able to take a hit. You've got to be able to take a bit of a beating, because at some point you're going to get it. Because if you're like the best in the world but you can't take a good fucking...
No, there's some point. There's always someone who's
right
as good as you.
Right hook and a jab. It's like, oh.
Well, if you evenly match with someone...
Yeah, they do too well, yeah.
It comes down to who wants to win.
Survival.
It's the same as running. It's the same as I ran a...
Who can go through more pain?
I ran the Great Barrier Reef Ultra Marathon 2015. Won that one. Right?
Nice.
Which I'm very proud of, because it was a... It's a tough day out.
Is that, when you got your Nike, is that when you got your Nike sponsorship?
Oh, yeah, that's the one. I remember it because I trained at a marathon distance, right? And it was my first, it was like 80K. of mountain running.
That's a lot. Right? Jesus.
80K mountain running.
That's a lot.
And I was like...
Hence the name Ultra Marathon.
Well, yeah.
That? Marathon, let's do an ultra. You fuckers.
So you think, all right, I'll get into it. So I remember it. I can remember every single detail of that run. Right? Mm. So it was pitch black. You start at 4 o'clock in the morning. So... That's a no-no.
You wouldn't have done it in summer, would it? It wouldn't have been on summer.
Summer.
Fucking hell.
It was summer. It was.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
November, up
it's
in Cairns.
Up Jesus.
Karanda rainforest.
No wonder you start at 4.
Rain forest, right? So it's like tropical. It's
humid.
Fucking humid as, right?
Spiders, snakes.
Oh, mate. We got to the bottom of the... It's called the bump track. I was the first there. 4 o'clock in the morning, pitch black. Right? It'd been raining. I thought, what the fuck's that on the track? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it looked like licorice. And it was millions, honestly, it was loads of like red belly black snakes all over the trail.
Fucking hell.
And I had to run up that trail with me fucking head torch on, dodging them all. Honestly.
Jeez.
So I did that, got through there, and then 56K, it had been raining, so the river was up.
Yeah.
And I remember I seen the spotter on the bank.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about it at the time. I thought, oh, that's nice of them putting a bloke there so you know which way you're going. So I come running down, you know what I mean? Hit the water and it was that deep that I just went under head first.
Yeah.
Right? Fucking soaked. Got out, ran out the other side. Right? And then I realised that he was a crocodile spotter.
Oh, right.
To make sure that there was none floating about while you're crossing the river. You know what I mean?
But you didn't even look.
I didn't even think. I thought...
Well, because you don't from back home.
No, because you're from the Gold Coast. There's no crocodiles here, is it?
Not from the UK.
There's
no crocodiles on the
crocodiles. Corner. I mean, you've got cassowaries there that chase you around and kill you, you know what I mean? Apparently. Just imagine you get that chased off a giant chicken and like murdered off it. You know what I mean? So...
Bloke in marathon gets
one.
Hunted down by fucking chicken.
I didn't see
chicken.
One, but they were saying like, you've got to watch out for them because they're deadly. They got like that horn on their head.
Yeah.
And apparently they attack you with it.
Jesus.
So I didn't see any of them.
Right,
but I remember like I got to the 56K mark and then my legs went. Right? Because you've been up and down hills all
can
day
imagine.
Long.
I would have been
so like all my groin was like stressed out, you know, in between my legs. I couldn't even move my legs, man. And I had to go down the bump track, which is like a 6K hill on the way down, and then 4 mile on 4 mile beach. And by that time it was about what? 10 o'clock and it was 7 hours it was a run and it was roasting, man.
Yeah.
So the last couple of K's in the red hot sun on the beach and you
what
just
what a way to finish.
Oh, you just want to crawl up in the ball, mate, honestly. So you can check back though to see if anyone's behind you on the beach because it's just a straight run.
Yeah.
So you think, oh, there's no one behind me, I've just got to get to the end now,
you know what I mean? Pace it.
We have to crawl, yeah. Because, I mean, your legs, but at that stage, are like...
You're doing very small strides.
Yeah, you're like a little duck waddling along the beach, you know what I mean? You're not moving at all. And then all of a sudden...
You're doing the dad run.
Then you get a sprint on down the finish, you know what I mean? Because there's people about. It's like, whee!
I'm in agony, but smile.
Yeah, so you get that finished. And then I remember because I literally booked a hotel up in Cairns, right? And it was just stairs, had no elevator. And by that time, my legs had seized. So I remember sliding up the stairs on my bum to get to my hotel room, and my missus was laughing her head off. She had it on video, it was fucking hilarious. Like, she's pissing herself, and I'm just like...
Women love it
like
when men
are
in pain.
I was like, oh! Trying to get, and literally, I couldn't walk for about 2 weeks, man, honestly. I had to lift my legs up onto the curb. To get onto the curb, right?
And get a bit of ice bath going on.
Oh, mate.
That would have been done. That would have done your wonders.
That would have done, but they were destroyed. My legs were destroyed, like, mate, honestly.
Sitting in the ice bath, yeah.
7 hours up and down hills, rocks. All my toenails came off.
Fuck.
It was like full on, eh?
Not good.
And I reckon it took me a good 6 months to recover off that. Mm. I tried racing in between and I just bonked out like 20K, done, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And I think that's why I like the marathon more, because you've got a bit better recovery off it. It's almost a 50, but it's not quite, you know what I mean?
You found your middle ground.
Yeah, for now, you know what I mean? I'll go longer when I get older, because you slow down a bit, you know, like most things, but your endurance is always going to be there. You know what I mean? So you can run, some of the lads run 100 miles, and you think, fucking 100 miles, that's mental, you know what I mean?
Well, you build up to it. It's like anything, progressive overload once again.
What it is how many you do, it's how many you do, isn't it? Like anything. If you do one or two, just to say, yeah, I did one, I got a trophy, did one. I mean, I know lads who've done like 20. And you think, 2,000 miles. That's like fucking, I don't know, 2,000 miles.
Apparently there's these ultra runners out there. I mean, you know, Ross Edgley swimming around the UK and all that sort of stuff. But there's these lads who are doing them every other fucking week, or that even what's
every
his
week.
Face everyone yeah. What's his face now? Everyone loves him.
Raymond.
Well done. Oh no, that the coloured fella who everyone's into at the minute because he's hard.
Oh, the goggles.
Got it. Goggins. And he was doing them like what, once every week or so. Anyway.
People are always like, have you listened to that goggin? I'm like, no mate, I can't.
It's fine.
I can't.
It's
no, okay. I'll be right. I'll
yeah,
leave
I'm
it.
Not jumping on that bandwagon.
Yeah, I'll leave it.
But good guy and everything, respect that, but well, yeah, I don't think that's necessary.
They love him, mate. But then I mean everybody needs somebody, and if that's
well,
who you want
like,
to go
mate,
to.
He's inspiring
go
people, that's good on
yeah,
him.
Yeah,
you know?
If you're getting out of your house and doing a bit, it's fun enough, isn't it?
What was I going to say now? But yeah, like to circle back before we go more into that, I want to ask you a few more questions about the running. But what age were you when you moved to the Gold Coast then? And like what?
Yeah,
like,
I was in
you
my
obviously
tw-
knew
I was
you
in,
wanted to get
yeah,
out. Why
I was in
did
my
you
20s,
why
man.
Did you choose to come here? How did you know? Do you have any family or anything?
Well, yeah, I was traveling around the world, mate, and I came out here in my 20s, and you know, you meet a bird and all that, and you're just one of them, innit? That's how it all happens, isn't it? You don't know where you're going to be. Like, you just end up where
so
you are.
So that's where you met the missus, all back then?
No, that was a different one, mate.
I was going to say, I'm like, I didn't know you had been together that long.
Yeah, no. But it's...
Sorry, she won't listen.
No. She might do. But
she
it's,
might do, actually.
She might do. Yeah, but it's just one of them. It's like, nobody knows where it... Just lucky,
yeah.
I always think of it. I'm just lucky. Do you know what I mean? From where I came from and where I am, I'm lucky, mate. You know what I mean? Mm. Every day's a blessing, isn't it?
Well, it is. But the thing is, you've got that contrast. I think that's where travel is so valuable. Because
yeah.
You get to it's a really good way to polarise.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
where you're from.
I travelled all over. I mean, I travelled through India.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
And if you've ever been to India, you
well,
see
I mean,
poverty on
not
another
necessarily
level,
that,
mate.
But you have an appreciation and gratitude. It's great to see
do,
different
yeah.
cultures. And you're fucking hell, these people.
The world's
I thought
massive,
I had
mate.
It rough.
Do you know something? I always think, you know, like, people work every day in the same job. And they never see anything.
Monotony.
Right. You got one life. You're here once. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Go and see something. The world's amazing. Have you ever watched that Planet Earth with like David Attenborough?
Oh yeah.
And you think, fucking look
brilliant.
At that joint. Imagine going there and seeing that with your own eyes. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And like, it's like Australia. Australia is amazing, mate. Honestly, it is the most beautiful country, and I've been everywhere that you can think of. It's got everything, hasn't it? It's got snow. It's got deserts. It's got fucking.
Beaches.
Tropical, it's got beaches.
Tropical
forests. It's got beaches, yeah. It's got
fucking
beaches.
Fancy that.
Beaches
tropical
everywhere.
Tropical forests. All you, it's got all
it's
the...
It's got everything,
it's like everything came together in a melting pot in Australia.
You know, a lot of
you
people...
You've got all the extreme
yeah,
animals as well.
The animals, you know, but everyone goes, oh, I won't get there, these all dangerous animals. I'm like, you never see them, mate,
that, well, that's a stereotype, isn't it? So,
of course
you know,
it
people
is.
Here go, oh, what's the UK must be like this, this
Crocodile
and this.
Crocodile Dundee, innit?
Well, you go, well, you've watched fucking Geordie Shore too many times. But then people back home go, yeah, you think you watch Irwin when I was young. That's who I used to watch. God
yeah,
rest
Steve,
him.
Yeah.
God rest his soul. Beautiful. Yeah. Love that fella. Brilliant. You know, oh, I love watching that. And you think, fucking, I've got going to Australia. Big spiders, snakes, yeah. Great white sharks. But, yeah, they're around. But they're not exactly walking up your driveway. And they're in certain parts of Australia.
Well, I've seen a brown snake on my driveway.
Well, I have seen one as well. But, you know,
I've never
not...
seen any in the bush because
no,
they're all in here in
yeah.
the bins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey. Morning.
But you like you say, hey, it is an amazing place, mate. Honestly, and it's outdoor-wise, you sort of wish, you know, like the youth that live in this country have the most amazing opportunities.
Mm.
For sport.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I love sport, but I mean, they have triathlon teams at school.
Yeah.
And you think, triathlon team at school, and they've got bikes and everything. And you think...
Yeah, they're really pro
yeah, you
sport
think, wow, like,
outdoors.
How good can you get, you know what I mean?
Well, it's like, you see the kids when they go on the beach, and they're going surfing, and like part of the school thing. Or
yeah.
You know, they take them out, and they do the outdoors, and you think, fuck, that would have been a dream as a kid for us in school.
Isn't it? I mean,
well,
got
you know, where we're from.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, I wouldn't be going to the beach, that'd be a day out.
Yeah, day out on a plastic bag. Doing
just,
a bit of sliding in the ice, you know.
I was
right?
just going to say. That
but,
and you'd be going on Blackpool.
I know, but the thing is, a lot of the kids here don't take the opportunities.
Well, yeah, but this is the problem, where the travel needs to come in, or there needs to be some sort of exchange where they go, right, you're going to go live in Europe for 6 months, or you're going to go live here for 6 months, or they come back and they go, you know what, this is all right. But it's the, how can you contrast? It's like, for example, pleasure and pain. If you've not been through so much pain, you can't fully enjoy pleasure as much because there's no contrast. Do you know what I mean?
I'll say that, but I have been around Australia, right?
Yeah.
And I've been to some places that are shitty, proper shitty. Mm. I mean, I've never seen some places so shitty in my life.
Mm.
And you think, fucking hell, why are you living like that?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
they don't know any better, though.
No, but I went to Hunter Valley last year. Mm. Right? Stayed in a nice flash hotel, all that.
Mm.
And at the time, I was training, so I didn't want to eat in the hotel. So I thought, I'll go down to Coles, you know what I mean? Get my own food, what I eat all the time. So I went down to Coles and I drove through this town. I don't know where it was, but I drove through it. And I remember looking out the window thinking, and I swear, I was like, fuck me. You know what I mean? They look like they built their own houses. And I was like, what the fuck? You know, like, you live in this country. Why are you there? Why don't you just, like, knock your wooden house down and move, pretty much? You know what I mean?
Why did you choose to settle here?
Yeah, why are you living in that? Yeah. You know, get to the coast. Get somewhere.
It's a conundrum, though, isn't it? Because people are different, though. They're wired differently.
They don't. Yeah, they're wired differently. They don't know any of different. They're happy with what they're doing. And it's kind of like...
And then that's their routine, that's their habit. And sometimes a lot of people, depending on where they are, they're so isolated and, you know, and there's nothing wrong with this, but they can't see outside of that, you know. Like, for them, it's like, oh, how could we ever do that?
Yeah,
but for us, it's like, easy, just move.
Yeah, you need you need family, don't you?
There's other things.
You need mates, you need family.
It's like, if you've travelled like you've done, you realise you can make it anywhere in the world.
I mean,
and that's why I always go back to travel as one of the best educations, because you learn all about, and if you travel, you can take on anything.
Of course you can,
because you will inevitably go through a lot of obstacles. There'll be a lot of fuck-ups along the way. You've got to find money sometimes. Your flight doesn't come through your hotel. You find yourself in a dodgy situation. You've got to set up here, do this, do that. Fucking learn to speak to people to, you know, get
that's all, where that's you want to go. To me, that's all the excitement of life, isn't it?
That's kind of when I was speaking to Ash Dykes, who's the extreme adventurer. It was the same sort of thing. It was like, that's kind of like the fun of it.
Yeah,
it's the challenge.
It,
as long as you're not putting yourself too far out.
But it's like my mate, he lived on the Gold Coast, tattooist, right?
Yeah.
And there's millions of them here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everyone's had a crack and everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
And he goes to me, he says, oh, I'm going to go out to the mines and do a bit of tattooing there. And I was like, yeah, all right, go out there, you know what I mean? So he flew out to Western Australia or whatever, did a few weeks out there, came back, made loads of money.
Yeah.
He says, my mate lives down in Wodonga. Offered me a...
Wodonga?
Yeah, on the border down near Sydney. And he goes, he's offered me a job down there. He says, what should I do? And I said, well, why don't you take it? He says, do you reckon? I says, well, fucking what are you doing around here? I said, worst thing can happen is you go there, it's shit, and you come back and start again, right? Anyway, he went there. He's been there 2 years now. Opened his own shop. So he's got his own shop there. I can't remember, so I feel bad, mate, because I forgot his name in his shop.
But, and he's trying to give him a shout out.
I was going
to
give him a shout. He's one of my best mates as well.
Oh, well, let me know. I'll put it in the show notes.
But
I'll pop it up on here now on the screen if I've edited it right.
He went there and he's done all right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he rings me up and he goes, Rob, he says, thanks for telling me to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He says, because it's the best thing you ever did.
Yeah.
I said, you know, you'd be here working for someone. Lucky if you get like a few hours. A tattoo in a week because everybody's doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just one of them, isn't it? And I think you should have a crack at everything. Mm. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, ultimately, you come back to the big picture where, you know, not to be, and it's not a pessimistic or a mundane view, but it's realistic where we're all going to be in the ground one day and it's all going to be over. And as you get to those latter stages, unless you're taken out by surprise, you sort of start to think about your life as you get older.
Of course you
do,
yeah.
As you hit these big sort of like 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, you know, and you sort of go, I wish I should have done it.
No, you're like,
so it's like, if you can take that hindsight now, listening to people who are a little bit older or wiser, more experienced, take the advice. Ooh. If you're listening in now, whatever you want to do, oh, I can't do it, just plan it, make it happen.
Yeah.
Make a plan to make it happen, because I'll tell you what, otherwise, it won't happen.
Everybody has regrets, even when you've done something really good.
It's one of the worst fears, mate.
You still have regrets, you know what I mean? I go, right, my sister goes, oh, you're amazing, like you're a top runner and you've boxed on the world, you know, world level, and you've done all this, and you sort of go, yeah, I've done all that, and I'm really proud of what I've done. And I look back and I think, well, I did everything I sort of wanted to do.
Mm.
But then there's little things in your life that you think, what if I'd have done that? Or what if I'd have gone, you know what I mean?
Yeah, down that route.
You see, everyone's still gone.
Well, it's like the one of the basic ones for me and you is, what would we be doing if we'd stayed in the UK?
Be fat, wouldn't we?
Well, I don't know, that's the thing, though. But I'm interested. I'm interested to know if I stayed in primary school, I was just about to go high school with my mates. I wonder, my mum and dad were into fitness, so I think that would have been a big part of my life.
Yeah,
but I wonder, what would I have been doing? Mm. I mean, for all I know, I could be doing better. If there's such a thing, how do you define that? But you know what I mean? Like, it just interests me. I know what you mean. You get caught in avenues of thought, going, what if, and there's all these different.
Yeah, what if?
It's like, what if we went to, even something as simple as, what if you went to Melbourne and you stayed there instead of Gold Coast?
I've got a few mates who live in France.
Well, there you go.
They all went over there, would have been like 90s renovating houses, barns and that.
Oh, yeah.
And like, now the big quid's in, you know what I mean?
Well, they will be.
But it takes time to establish, if you went with them, isn't it? But it's kind of like, you know, you just, as long as you're happy every day.
Mm.
Then you know everyone's going to have what ifs, but it's not that. It's what you're going to do tomorrow, because that's all behind you, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You sort of, the finish line's there, and that's the start line back there. So you've got to go in the one direction, haven't you? With your mindset set on what you're going to do. You know what I mean? At the end of it, then you can look back.
Well, what, based on that, then, what do you think have been like the biggest achievements in your life, sporting and otherwise, versus the biggest learnings and / fuck-ups to date that sort of stick with you vividly?
Yeah.
And I know you mentioned the ultra marathon before, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's been hundreds, mate. Honestly, I've won so many races, I've forgotten. I've got trophies in the cupboard.
All right, don't brag.
You pull them out one day and you think, oh, fuck yeah, I did do that one.
Yeah.
You know, and you think, oh, but that's yesterday's news, because people forget in a week or two that you did it.
Well, you're always striving forward, isn't it? You don't want to rest on your laurels. But it's nice. It's a chapter.
I've been trying to win the Brisbane Marathon for 3 years.
Yeah.
Right? Last year got cancelled because of COVID. So I won the Gold Coast Festival one here.
Yeah.
And then, but I finished twice second at the Brisbane Marathon.
Mm.
And, you know, my missus reminds me. She goes, fuck, that's amazing. No one else has done that.
No.
You know, nobody, you don't get to do that in your lifetime. And I go, well, no, because I went for first, and I'm convinced I went for first.
Yeah.
20 years' time, I look back and think, fucking hell, how good was I? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But at the time, you sort of think, I want to go first, you know what I mean? But it's a massive achievement, and you should be proud of it. And, you know, that's a big achievement.
You win it next year when you've been training with me and getting your nutrition.
Yeah, I'll win
right.
it, mate.
You'll fucking get it.
I'll win it. Yeah. I'll win it. I'll organise some road closures for everyone else. Yeah,
we'll just look back. We'll do another podcast. We'll be like, right.
Yeah, we'll do a look back. Yeah.
There it is.
That's it.
There it is.
But that's one of my big achievements. Boxing professional was a big achievement. You know, getting in the ring for the first time and shitting myself. You know,
not literally,
that sort
I hope.
No, I mean, I'm terrified, mate. Honestly, it was so scary. Cause you,
well, it is.
I'll tell you a story.
You're in the ring, you'd be like jelly, wouldn't you? Fucking all the adrenaline's going.
I remember I had my boxing debut, right, was against an Irish kid.
How old were you? 18? 17?
Yeah, it was like that. I was about in my 20s, something like that. Right. Can't even remember, man. And I remember meeting the guy at the weigh-in, right? And he had a bit of a flat, he was an Irish traveller, bit of a flat nose, you know how they are?
Yeah.
Rock hard.
Seen a few hits.
And
a few,
I thought, he looks like, don't look that big. I mean, because you go off size, don't you? It's deceptive.
Well, you do when you're young, and then you realise it's the fucking small fellow who flattens everyone.
And I remember, well, that was it, you see. I was his like warm up, you know what I mean? So,
oh, fuck.
So I remember I got the fight, and we did the weigh-in. And I remember my coach going to me, oh, he don't look that hard. So all right, done he? Oh, all right then, fuck it, I'll get in there, you know what I mean? So I remember getting to the tunnel, right? And just as we're going to go out of the tunnel, like by that I was shitting myself anyway, because yeah. I seen him warming up in the car park.
Yeah.
On the pads. And I thought,
in the car park?
Yeah, because your box are like, you start off at the back of these old halls and pubs and taverns and shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's on the pads and I thought, fuck, he's got fast hands, you know what I mean? Don't look like shit to me. So I guess in the tunnel, you know what I mean? Looks all right to me. So I guess in the tunnel, but he's, you know, everyone good. Looks good on the pads, whatever.
Yeah.
So gets in the tunnel and the coach goes, like, the music starts, you know what I mean? He used to have the Sex Pistols, like, Anarchy in the UK. Music starts, and then he goes, like, the coach goes like that, he goes, whatever you do, don't go near him. And I was like, what the fuck?
Your coach?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. And I'm like, what the fuck? Thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
I was like, oh, fucking hell. So I gets in there, you know what I mean? And I thought,
he was running.
Basically just fucking moving around the ring, trying to stay out of his way. You know what I mean? He was heavier than me. And then he beat me on points, right?
Yeah.
He dropped me with a sneaky body shot around the back of the referee.
Yeah.
We got the break, and he walked around the ref and just fucking bang like that. And I remember hitting the deck, thinking, fucking hell, I'm staying here. And the ref's like, nah, you got to get up. And I thought, for fuck's sake. So I got up. And then we finished the fight. It was like a 4 or 6 rounder. And then he comes at the end of the fight. He goes, fuck me, you're tough as fuck. And I thought, am I? He goes, yeah, I just won the title over a week. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. They just put me in thinking, oh, we'll give him a bit of work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I remember him going, don't go near him. And I thought, fucking hell, like, I'm going to shit myself already. What are you doing?
Well, good of him to come and have a word to you at the end, though.
Yeah, but
he was probably,
I mean,
expecting to paste you. And then he thought, fuck, hang on, this fella can take a bit,
like,
of a beating.
I was listening to my corner going, here, I fucking don't go near him. So I'm thinking, why am I got going near him? You know what I mean? What's he going to do?
Yeah.
Fucking knock me to next week.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Well, you don't know.
So that was my debut there. But yeah, it's just, that was a great thing, because I had one of those, like, my mum, I love my mum, but I had one of those mums who was like, oh, you can't do that, you know what I mean?
Well, she protective, isn't she?
Bit negative, to be honest. Let's have it right. But
say it as it is.
It is, yeah, well, I'll say that. I'll say she was negative. My dad was always like, yeah, do whatever you want, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
mum was always like, oh, you can't do sport, get a job.
Yeah,
stop messing about.
There's always a contrast,
and
there?
It was like, oh, you can't do that. Well, I've done it, you know what I mean? But I always think, did she say that so that I'd achieve something? Or did she say that because she was negative? Because she used to say, oh, yeah. I remember watching the marathon, on the London Marathon on telly.
Mm.
I used to think, fuck, I'll win one of them.
Yeah,
I remember saying to me, oh, you'll never win a marathon. And I was thinking, fucking, what are you talking about? Like,
that's,
how many ever won? Fucking 10, you know what,
yeah,
I mean?
Exactly.
Like, but I don't know if she was just saying that to get me to go, fuck you.
I'll reverse you, psychology. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Or just truly being like that. But it's just one of them, isn't it? But then again, you got to think of their life and what their parents were with them, you know what I mean?
Mm.
You just got to be the best parent you can be to your children, and just go, you know what, you can do anything, man.
And you always want to do it better, though, than your mum and dad, don't you? Like, you get your kids, and I mean, I imagine, I'm not going to yet, that I know of. No, I'm just. And you go, what, I always wanted to do this when, or I would want to do this with my kids, or I would want my parents to say this or do that. And so you think you can do it better, and that's all you can do.
Yeah.
There's no light handbook. But you just basically want to do a better job than your parents. So
usually,
depending on your upbringing, you go, right, well, now there's the benchmark, I'm going to top it.
Yeah, but I always think,
but you want to have an encouraging, loving environment.
I joined the Army Cadet Force when I was a teenager.
Right.
And I always reckon that was one of the best things I ever did. Because it sort of...
Discipline.
A bit of discipline. Like, I was just just a kid. If I'd have been hanging out with the lads on the corner, you know, drinking piss on a weekend or getting in trouble. But I remember a few of my lads, I was kind of lucky, because the area I grew up in, the school closed.
Yeah.
It was a real rough school. So I got sent to a nice school in the next area.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't tell anyone where I was from, because they used to think, oh, fuck, they look at me different, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So I went to a nice posh school. And then they had an Army Cadet Force.
Yeah.
So I joined that with a few lads from school. And they all knew where I was from, because they were my best mates, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, we used to go away on annual camp, and they teach you how to iron and make your bed and
all the basic,
get you up, get you in the routine.
All the basic life skills, though.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't get taught, or they don't seem to carry over, because everyone's lazy now.
So you get in a routine, and all my mates who were in that were still mates today. You know, I still ring them up regular. How you going, mate? You know, what's life like? Whatever. You know, And it was a good thing in my life, right? And I think everyone should find something like that. Mm. You know, here they have the Kokoda Challenge. Mm. Mm. So my lad did the 96K Kokoda Challenge. Mm. You know what I mean? And I think, fuck, how good are you, mate? You know what I mean? Mm. I'm proud of you. You were 15 and you walked 96K through the night.
Exactly.
When I was 16, I wasn't walking 96K through the night. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I was either camping in the cemetery, having a dick about with my mates, or, you know what I mean? Or fucking doing something I shouldn't be doing. But, you know, he's doing something positive. And it's good, eh? And it's character building. And I think all the kids should jump on that Kokoda Challenge. Mm.
I think one of my younger clients, Ethan, he's doing it.
Yeah, we should do a team. We should take a load of kids, me and you.
Yeah.
For a laugh, eh?
So I've got my blue card.
Yeah, be a laugh, eh? Just get them out and about. Get them on the hills on a weekend and whatnot.
Come on.
Come on, mate. Get up there.
Well, watch that snake.
Yeah, what's that one?
That's a fucking brown one, that, mate.
It's good,
nah, they'll
it?
Probably know.
But
probably
it's good. Like, I think a lot of kids miss that, though. You know, like adults coaching them into something, or a bit of fatherly figures, because I've noticed in Australia there's a lot of single blokes, a lot of single women. Mm. I don't know if it's like it wasn't like that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Everybody was married.
Partnered up.
Yeah, they're all partnered up for like years. You know what I mean?
It's what you did.
Yeah, and here, but now, like, I don't know if it's just the day and age.
I think partly it is.
Or whatever.
Partly.
On to the next best thing, innit? You know what I mean?
Well, people
nobody
like
sticks
that
it out.
They're always sort of looking, or they're two, they get in, they get out. It's sort of transactional, where back in the day, if you were in a relationship, it was like, right, you sort of do the course.
Yeah, and everybody knew that that was your partner. Yeah. You know what I mean? And everyone knew you. It was like when I was a kid, I was always trying to go somewhere, because obviously I must have been running about everywhere when I was a kid, because that's all I do. Mm. So I was always somewhere I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But everybody knew where I was. I'd come in the house and my dad would look at me and he'd go, where have you been? And I'd try and bullshit to him, you know what I mean? But he knew the truth, so he'd be like, oh yeah, I've just been over the park. And he'd be like, no you weren't. Mrs. Green seen you over fucking near the bridges. What are you doing over there? And you'd be like, oh fuck, you know, like, shit, he's caught me. But he'd say, right, well, I won't tell your mum, because he knew my mum would be even fucking worse, you know what I mean? Because she's a crazy Irish woman, she'd just fucking rip into you. But
yeah,
it was kind of like, that's sort of what it is, eh? Mm. And it is like that here. Everybody seems to be flipping and tossing and turning, and I don't know.
I think, like you said then, it's because largely, possibly where we are, but just I think in this day and age, I think it's a generalisation, but it seems to be a common theme where people are always looking for the next best thing. So, for example, you know, the thing you want can be right in front of you, but you're always looking. There is a name for it, but you're always sort of, it's like the magpie. So you're always looking for something shiny. You're always looking for the next thing. You can often miss the thing.
Yeah,
that you
the grass
want.
Is
right
greener,
in,
isn't it?
In
you know
front
what I mean?
Of you.
Yeah,
you
the
know?
Grass
so
is
always
greener,
like,
mate.
Oh, what's the next? Oh, I've got to have a better this and a better that.
Yeah,
and
better
people
this,
are always,
better that. Who cares, mate? Who cares what car you've got, or whether you ride a fucking push bike? It don't matter,
really,
does it?
It's all surplus to requirements.
Of course it is, mate.
It doesn't make you a good person.
it doesn't make you
a better person just because you drive a car with a certain badge on it, or has a certain, you know, monetary value. And it's the same with your, you know, like now with social media, your followers. It's sort of like, it's wrong, but people, if you've got more followers, people are like, oh, hang on, oh, he must be a good person. I must have to give him a bit of respect, or
but
it's like, well, no, it's just...
How many of them followers do you actually know, you know what I mean?
Well, geographically, all it is a measure of how many people follow your shit or like to look at your half naked, because that's literally what it
is. Well, that's it. It's like you're selling something. It's like, you know, if you've got 100 people who are following you and they're buying something, or you've got 50,000 who aren't buying something,
well,
what do you want?
Organic.
Yeah, so it's one of them, isn't it?
Well, you've got your own. Are you still doing your brand? Still doing your clothing?
No, I'm on pause at the minute.
On pause?
Yeah, yeah.
Fair enough.
With the COVID, the trail running scene sort of drifted out a bit.
Yeah.
But that's fine, man. I don't mind, you know what I mean? It's just one of them, isn't it? You know, it was just for the love of the sport in the first place.
Well, that's it. You weren't
it's
in
not,
it to make
yeah,
a fuck, to be
to
the next Nike,
mate,
you?
I'm
were
not,
just like, happy doing your thing.
I'm not...
making
you're
your
not really
stuff.
Interested in money, to be honest.
No, I've noticed. It's good.
You know, I couldn't really care. Like, you can't take it with you. Mm. It's nice. You know, a lot of people are worrying about tomorrow. What am I going to do when I retire? Mm. You think, fuck, you've got to get there first, mate. You know what I mean?
But the thing is, if you do retire, you're probably going to do a lot of what you're already doing bloody now. Because
yeah,
you enjoy it.
Yeah, and you've got nothing to do. You'd be bored.
That's why you need, I think, if you want something to do something you enjoy, and try and make a career out of it, because you're going to do it anyway, aren't you? So you might as well get
paid
for it.
And I mean, I like real people, man. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't care what you're doing, what you do for a living, whether you're doing anything. If you're a real person, then, you know, I just want to chat to you or whatever. It's because it's normal, isn't it? You can see through the bullshit with someone straight away, can't you? Especially where we grew up.
You get good you at it, realize, the older and the more experience
you get. Yeah,
you
sort of go, you're full of shit, mate. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of them, isn't it? And I mean, a lot of, I don't know what it is. A lot of people are just focused on everyone else except for their self. Like, it's what you, they're all putting out an image, but it's not really them. You know what I mean? It's like being the school bully. You're trying to be hard.
Wearing a mask, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he's the school bully's trying to be hard, isn't he? But he ain't hard. He's just trying to put out that he's hard. Because he's trying to scare everyone, you know what I mean?
Usually a deeper insecurity within himself.
Yeah, of
course
it is. Yeah, they're just insecure. Maybe they need a cuddle or something, you know what I mean? Like, need a friend,
it's usually
I mean?
A lack of love in some respects.
Yeah, of course it is. But it's, yeah, getting back to it, like sport, you know, it's a great thing, man. It's a release, isn't it? You know what I mean? But then you don't always get people, do you? Like, I watch the Titans every week, and I see the crowds going to the football. And I think, fuck that, like, you know, that, why? It's like going to church, isn't it? But that is their church.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It is.
But they get something out of it. So, you know, who am I to say that? That's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. You know what I mean? You do that because you love it, whatever. I don't care, mate. I'm going out for a run. You might think, look at that dickhead running a marathon. You know what I mean? Well, look at him. What a clown.
But there's always people who are going to think that. And that's kind of the beautiful thing about, like, doing your own thing. You're going to find people who gravitate towards that.
Yeah, you do,
you know,
mate.
It's like you're going to find your people, and it's not for everybody. That's a good thing. It'd be boring if you were all into the same thing.
Boring if you're all into the same thing. And it's kind of like... what I've noticed, right, it's really weird.
Yeah, go on.
That most runners are school teachers. I don't know why.
All right, go on. Give me a theory on this correlation.
Maybe it's like a stress release from the kids. Like, you just come home and you think, fuck, I've got to go for a run. I've got to get outside. I've been locked in a classroom all day.
Yeah, well, possibly.
And there's so many of them. It's like crazy, eh?
So you asked it, like, you've just noticed that all the mates who are running, they're all teachers.
I know, like, fucking, I could, all on my hands, man, loads. Yeah. I don't know whether it's... A trait, like a psychological trait that you get. As a, like, oh, I'm a teacher, I must be a runner. You know, like, somewhat attacked.
There you go.
So it's just the strange one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I coach a couple of teachers, but, I mean, they're into the weight training, like.
Yeah, but I mean, even weight training.
Well, it's an out, you need an out, fucking hell, you need an outlet.
Of course
but
you
they're
do.
All, they're usually very highly stressed. So that's like they come that's in, they're like, I mean, right, yeah. I've had a hell of a day, like let's get into it, you know, like, all right, yeah, sweet.
Yeah, let me give something to smash into.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, don't take it out on the kids.
Boxercise, you know, you watch those women and that in the boxercise, smashing bags and that, and you think, fucking hell, like.
Well, and for women as well, they need it, you know, because usually it's not seen to be feminine being violent, so it's like, fuck, they love boxing.
It's but big
I had a teacher as well, and she was like, you know, really well spoken, really lovely, humble, quiet. She used to come in the gym and she said, is it all right if I swear? I said, yeah, why? She goes, oh, you know, just I don't want you to think any less of me. I said, what do you mean? He goes, I just feel like swearing when I do some of the sets.
Oh,
and I said,
swear all the time,
I said, go for it. I said, if you're smiling, I said, you ain't doing it right. Anyway, funny, because you'd look at her and she'd be on the leg extension, she'd be like, fuck her, she'd be like, sorry, and I'm like, don't apologise. Yeah. And she'd just be loving it, she'd come in, it was like an outlet for her.
I mean, like, I randomly swear sometimes, you know what I mean?
And oh, you all do.
I know, but it just comes out, and it's kind of like, my parents never swore, and I just picked it up, and my lad, he's like,
colloquial.
He's like, please and thank you, and really nice.
Oh, that's good.
And I'm just like, fuck this, whatever, you know, it just comes out.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it's, you know, you just pick that up on your travels, innit, as you're going through life, building sites and sports and gyms and...
Depends on who you hang around with.
Yeah, and boxing, and it's kind of like just one of them, innit? But it's sport in general, man. Like, I love me running. Doing all right at it now.
And yeah, I'll say you are.
Yeah, you're doing pretty good, man. Keep moving on, innit? But I'm always trying to learn something, you know what I mean?
Well, put it this way, before we get into the rapid fire questions, we've done well here, 1 hour and a half. It's good.
Yeah,
no, I'm liking it, mate. We could go for 3 hours, I've no doubt.
We could go it's fucking 5 o'clock this afternoon.
We fucking could, to be honest. Maybe we do that one time.
Yeah.
Just do a marathon podcast.
Yeah. And everybody send $10 in. Yeah.
Hey, be the new thing. Actually, you know what? Doing all right now, so we'd be fucking quids in, mate.
Clicking away.
We'll go fucking 50-50.
Every click, fucking $3.
That's it. Give us a like.
pay-per-view.
Yeah, well, why not? Could be the new thing, mate.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, go set the trend. What advice would you give to runners in general, but maybe even people who are looking at getting into running? Would you offer any advice?
Yeah, of course I would, yeah.
Specifically, what would you want to say?
I'd give me advice. I don't know if it's any good advice, but I'll give it. I've always got someone to give. Just general stuff. I mean, you got to start off at your level. There's no point. All sports got levels.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's no point competing at a level that you're not at, because you just look stupid. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I've noticed, I'll give you an example, right?
Yeah, go on.
I'll get slated in the running world for it, but right. I don't care, because I don't give a shit. Because I can handle myself, right? So.
Because you had a background as a boxer, then
it.
A runner.
So, park run, right?
Yeah.
It's a free run around the world. Right? Every Saturday, people turn up at all the parks.
In the world.
Australia, there's loads around
it. It's a known thing.
It's massive.
Is it got a group? Is it like an app or something?
There's an app. There's a web page.
You can see and you can see where everyone goes.
Yeah. There's a web page. There's different courses. You can turn up at any park with your barcode.
And I'm with you.
You can run for free. Right? 5K free.
Yeah, go on.
Now, the idea and the concept behind park run was for non-runners and everybody in general who's trying to get into a bit of an active lifestyle.
I'm with you.
To turn up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, well, it was a good thing.
It is.
Now, a lot of elite runners have started turning up at all these park runs, right? Because it's a free run and it's timed. So you think, I'll do a 5K time trial Saturday. So you turn up and you're all racing yourselves and you're all running fucking 15-minute, 14-minute 5Ks and all this shit.
Yeah, right? Makes sense.
Makes sense to them. But if you're a non-runner or you've just started, you'd feel fucking embarrassed, or you'd feel like, oh, you know, I'm not as good as these lot. Or it's designed for them so they can compete at their level.
Right.
But all these elites are coming in, smashing it to fucking death. And it's not for them.
And it's deterring a lot of the.
Of course it is.
Yeah,
it's not for them. Yeah, it's basically, it's not for you. If you want a race, you go and do a race.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or do a time trial with your club or whatever. But if you're, I'm starting out and I'm just getting into the 5K and my 5K time's fucking half an hour, right?
Mm.
I don't want to be running against someone who's beating me by 15 fucking minutes. Because I feel like I'm hung. I feel like, I'm no good at this. I'm not good enough. I'm not going to come next week.
Yeah.
That's how I'd feel. So when I look at it from the outside, I think, I'd feel like that.
Do they not have, like, so categories? But can they not have one for, like, maybe beginners and intermediate and advanced?
Well, they all run together. I mean, yeah, they're all running their own races, and who am I to say that you shouldn't turn up and do part run as an elite, you know what I mean?
Just because then everyone can have a go in it, and just go, right, if you're in between this time bracket,
course,
you go first.
So you've got to have categories,
I think you need just three, because obviously you can keep going with it. But then
you need
it's
categories,
a bit
don't you?
But also then you could argue, because I know my mates who do the road biking. I used to do a bit of that in New Zealand, you know, on the old push bike. And my mate said they've got a club here and they've got these categories and you sort of, you know, it doesn't deter you. You can ride with people your level, but then it also gives you an incentive to go, once you hit a certain time, you go into the next category.
Yeah, well, they have that in races. They have that in real, genuine races.
Yeah.
They have, like, age categories, right? So you can win your age group.
Yeah.
So that sounds good, don't you know what I mean? But in a small local event, a community event, right, that's put on by Park Run and the council, right, you're turning up, there's say, 100 runners, 20 of them are fucking elite runners, they're all running fucking sub-16s or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You should have a category for yourself.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To make it like you want to do it. when are you ever going to win it? Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, if you, like when you part run years ago, people used to win it at 20 minutes. So you'd be like, here, fucking one part run this week. You know what I mean? Like, because at your level, so you could be, you can feel good at your level.
You got a shot. It's an incentive. It's motivating. At your level.
But now you're never going to win it again. You know what I mean? Mm. It's like the marathon, right? I got a chance of winning one, as where there's a load of people who ain't never going to win one. But they can win their age group, or they can win, you know, something on their level, like their club or whatever. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the GC50, right? Massive race on the Gold Coast. Won that as well.
But, of course you have.
But
the, I'll put on you, mate.
Yeah, no, but I'm pretty proud of that one.
Oh, you should be.
But,
it's good.
They have
celebrate the wins,
they have a big setup for all the clubs. You know what I mean? Like club competitions. So all the running clubs from all over, everywhere come. And you can buy, you know, you buy tickets, they give you a marquee for your fucking running club and all that. You know what I mean? And they've got different categories. So yeah, you can win the podium, 1, 2 and 3, right? But then you can also win the club event.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I think they do the Origin, Queensland versus New South Wales. So the first 4 from each state over the line, you can win it. You know what I mean? You can win the Origin.
Yeah, that's good.
And then they have a trophy for, I think it's called the Ian Cornelius Trophy, which he set the race up 25 years ago.
I have heard of his name. It's
yeah.
Bit of a legend.
Yeah, he is, yeah. He's passed away now. Sorry about that, Ian. You know what I mean? Miss him loads. Always had a good argument with him. So I kind of miss those. But, you know, they have his trophy for, it's like, I don't actually know top of my head what it's for, but it's basically someone who does some extraordinary, you know what I mean? So you can win the trophy. Mm. And it's the 25th year this year, so it's the anniversary on the Gold Coast in November, so, you know, if you want to buy a ticket, but get down there.
Bit of promo.
Yeah, but that's good for all levels, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you've got an incentive to go. And it's a good day out, and it's a laugh. You know what I mean? They put a band on and people down the park, and it's...
Good day out?
Yeah, it's one of them, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, I love to go for a run and then watch people come in and see them achieve their goals. You know what I mean?
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
Ooh, everybody started somewhere, you know what I mean? You started at the back. You weren't fucking... You didn't turn up first day and go, here, I'm here. It took you years to get there.
Everyone starts somewhere.
You know what I mean? Take you 10 years to get up to the top.
Yeah.
It's just being consistent and training every day and realising what works for you. You know what I mean? And not listening to any shit. Mm. And going through the shit times when you get injured and you think, fuck, I'm injured, what am I going to do? Don't give up. Do something else.
Yeah.
Get on a bike. Go to the gym.
Keep chipping away.
Just keep doing the same time, like same amount of exercise every day that you were doing when you were running, but on a bike or, you know, weights or whatever like that. You know
there's
I mean?
Always a way.
Of course there is. I mean, I started here at the EMF this year just for some extra training. I want to see what else I can do, you know what I mean? Like, I'm doing good, and I go, you know...
How can I be better?
Yeah, they've got a pool. I could do recovery swims in it, or, you know, do a few leg weights. Maybe I can get a bit more leg power on the hills, or, you know, I'm always looking for summer to stay ahead. I mean, you don't get any younger.
No.
So you still, you know, you
can... And there's always, you can always have an edge.
You're competing against blokes who are 20. They're 20 years younger than you, and you go, well, fucking hell, I need to step my game up, you know what I mean? They can go out and party all night, where I have to go to bed at 10 o'clock. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And get 10 hours sleep. Where they can go out till fucking 3 in the morning, like I used to. And, like,
and wake
party
up,
on and just go, here, go for a run, wee, you know what I mean? Get into it. Still got your fucking clubbing gear on. You know what I mean? I remember you just run home from the club.
Hey, there we go. Get a few K's in.
Yeah.
Well, it depends where you are, but fuck, that'll be a good little run.
You're getting a cab now, dude, the 10K. Oh, you know what I mean?
I'll do the 10K.
Why not?
got your trainers and your bag or something. Fuck,
well,
you know,
I mean,
there
that,
we go.
That's like, it is one of them, isn't it? Why be a lazy bastard when you can make something of your day? You know what I mean?
Run to
fucking work in the morning.
There you
All
go.
These, there's a lot of excuses in the world, right? Or I can't find time to train. Well, how about you put your running shoes on, run to work, and when you get there, then you've already done 10K, and then you can run home and do another 10. You've done 20K for the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Or I know a lot of people go for a run at lunchtime.
Well, that's the thing. People always complain there's not enough time, but we all get the same amount, but it's just about managing it. But a lot of the time, people, they sort of want to put their head in the sand a little bit and go, well, nah, it's too hard. Because it is, it's too hard for a lot of people. It's the too hard basket. But like you said, no. If you want to make it happen, where there's a will, there is a way. Well, and oftentimes, build it into your day.
Yeah.
It's the same with us when we're talking about people getting a step count up to offset energy balance. It's an easy way to do it.
Right. It's just an excuse.
Go on the bike, walk to work. All right, park a bit further away. Yeah. Take the stairs. There's all these little things. Ah, but it's like, it's just not worth it. It all adds up.
It's excuses that everyone goes, oh, if I was a professional, I could train all day long.
You don't
day.
Get to be a professional. You actually have to earn it by but doing all these things.
There's no difference than being a professional to an amateur. Like, you're still training the same. You know what I mean? You don't get up at fucking 9 and go, right, I'm going to train till 10 o'clock tonight. I don't even train in the morning, I train in the afternoons. And I'll do one session, or I might just do some weights lunchtime or whatever like that.
Yeah.
But you could be a school teacher and work all day and do the same training as me.
Exactly.
So what's the difference? What are you trying to say? Like, you'd be better sitting on your ass, pretty much, than fucking standing there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's no difference whatsoever, man. It's all about whether you want to do it.
There's a lot of, yeah, exactly. Ultimately, it comes down to the hunger, because there's always someone better and there's always someone worse, and it's all subjective anyway.
Yeah, it's how much you want to win it, how much you want to put in. Do you want to go for your 30K run on a Wednesday every week?
How hungry are you?
You know, I used to do like, I try and change my training so it's a bit easier on me these days, but I used to do like a regular 30K on a Wednesday, 35K on a Sunday at speed work. And people go, fuck, how'd you run? Like, you almost run a marathon on a Sunday. I've ran marathons on Sundays at marathon pace on my own, just for a training run. You know what I mean? And you think, why would you do that? And you think, well, fucking, you know, if you want to win something or get to that level, you need to do these things. It's just how it is. Because if you ain't doing it, old mate's doing it. And there's nothing worse than getting beat by someone you know you're better than. It fucking sucks.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck? Why didn't I train? Why did I eat those Tim Tams last fucking Friday night?
Wrong with Tim Tams, disclaimer.
It's funny because I do eat them, but I always, 4 weeks before the race, I cut all the shit out.
I cut it all out, mate.
You know what I mean? Only because it does shit to you, doesn't it? You know what I mean? You do end up shitting
yourself. You want to put quality... well,
pretty much.
I don't know, mate. You want to put quality fuel in the tank for the most part. But when you're eating as much as you fucking are, or should be, you can definitely get away with a few Tim Tams, mate.
No, you eat Tim Tams, a couple of fucking Bakewell tarts, any shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Banana bread, whatever.
But the thing
whatever.
Is, if you cut it all out and you reintroduce it, that's when the problem's going to occur, because your body's not used to that diversity.
Of course it is,
or how rich the food is. But
yeah.
Anyway, rapid-fire questions before we wrap it up.
Yeah.
So, first one is, these are quick, off the cuff, whatever you think.
Oh shit, better warm me.
Boom. So, one, if you could choose a superpower, what would it be and why? You can make it up, anything.
Superpower? Jesus, it could be rapid fire, it'd take me a fortnight, think about it.
I know, that's why I said, whatever comes to your mind.
Put that one
no,
on
rapid
me,
fire with Rob.
I know, yeah, take me half an hour, turn my brain on.
Jesus. It's all right, you just finished your coffee now, haven't you?
Superpower, mate. I don't know if I'd like to be immortal. I don't know if that'd be a superpower.
Well, no, I think that's a belter. And I'll tell you why it's a belter, because I've actually just been having a conversation, funnily enough, with a friend about that, about the pros and cons, like an in-depth sort of looking
like
at it logistically.
I'd like to live forever and be able to do what I can do now, forever. Because I know one day it'll be over.
And that's the whole kind of the romanticised view or the attraction to being like a vampire. It's that whole immortality of youth and, you know, powerful and commanding, and you can just do what you want to do, and you could, you know,
then you
live
got
the, out all of these lives.
And you've got the lonely side, haven't you?
Because there's a lot of conflict.
They say, you're going to have to let all these people go in your life, and it would fucking hurt, you know what I mean? You'd have a broken heart.
At some point,
you
don't know, because infinity's a long time.
You'd have a broken heart, man. I mean, eventually you might get over it and might not remember them, because, you know, fucking a couple of hundred years in the past, you might be thinking,
well, it might be like now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's it. You might think, who? Oh, him. Yeah, I forgot about him. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. One of those. But being immortal, I reckon it'd be kind of cool, because you could see everything.
Mm.
And you'd know the investments to make in the future, because you've seen all the past.
Hindsight.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, fuck, that was good 20 years ago. Boom. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Straight people in, get a bit... They get a bit... curious after a while. I wonder, hang on, this fella's, he's been around a while, he's not aging, this fella.
Yeah, he's a bit old. He's a bit young looking, isn't he, you know what I mean?
But then again, wouldn't matter, because like you said, they'd end up dying and you
then again,
on.
what's the right age to become a mortal?
See that, all right.
Well, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think...
Do you want to be a mortal at 18 or, no, your 40s?
I think 35. Yeah. 35 to 40, I think.
That's
because
it.
You're fully developed, you're sort of prime. I mean, this is... Hey, we'll leave it there, because this can just... this will be another fucking hour with me and you. Jesus. Right, second one is, right, favourite meal. If you had one last meal, what would it be? Can be entree, main, dessert, drink. What would you like? What's Rob's go-to? Might be after your marathon. What do you usually go to?
Pasta, mate.
Pasta?
Yeah, pasta,
a bit
yeah.
of spag bol or a penne? What are we talking about? A rigatoni, a lasagna, cannelloni?
I usually make a lemon and olive oil pasta.
Oh, you bloody
with
beauty.
Olives and feta cheese.
That's
you beauty. That's me, man.
And you're sorted. You happy with that big bowl?
Happy with that, yeah.
Replenish the carbs?
Yeah. Yeah. And a protein shake, innit?
I was going to say, got to get the protein shake.
Yeah,
good on you, mate.
Get the whey in there, you know what I mean?
Get the pre-workout, or should I say the post-workout anabolics happening and recovery.
Yeah, got to have them, haven't you?
And what about if you could wake up anywhere in the world tomorrow, where would it be and why? You've travelled the world, COVID's on at the minute, obviously restrictions are a little bit in place.
Here.
Yeah, but no, anywhere
well,
else.
Well, I like my own bed, to be honest, mate. Like, I'm.
But if it had to be somewhere else, where would you wake up? Anywhere in the world. You've travelled the world, mate, come on.
Well, maybe the Maldives on a beach in one of those flash, you know, those nice huts. Somewhere like that. Wake up like fucking James Bond or something. You know what I mean? Like, hey, what's going on this morning? You know what I mean?
Fucking, bear next to it. All that,
yeah, all that shit. You know.
Fucking helicopter on the thing.
Yeah, somewhere like that. There's loads of places, isn't there?
Well, that's what I'm saying. What would you pick?
Like Kenya. Like, I've been to Kenya. I was in Mombasa and I came across a beach, it's called Diani Beach.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't even know it was there. Went out on this tour.
Where's this? Where's Mombasa? What?
Mombasa's in Kenya.
Mombasa. All right, sorry.
Right?
Come on.
So I went to Kenya. I was over there for a while and came across this beach, right? And it's a different world, mate, honestly. Like, you wouldn't even know it was there because it's so secretive. I came through the trees.
Yeah.
I walked out on this beach, Diani Beach, right? It is the whitest sand you've ever seen. Look like it's snowed, right?
Right.
There's dudes pulling fresh octopus out of the water, right? And there's these multi-million-dollar mansions all the way down it, and big yachts parked up on the beachfront.
Fucking hell.
And I was like, what the fuck is this all about? Is this like one of those secret getaways where they send all the retired politicians or something?
Carbon,
you know what I mean?
Black millionaire club.
Yeah, like all the people who disappeared that were doing all right in the world, is this where they all come? It was unreal, eh?
That's what you wonder, though. There are pockets of that.
Oh, yeah, it was fucking amazing. I've never seen that like it. I was like, whoa, fucking... And that was, like, on my last day.
But that's what I think. That's the beauty of, like, going adventuring.
Yeah, you don't
and
know
And on foot, because you just sort of wander around and
you
go, I never would have found that place.
No,
you wouldn't have found that on the bloody
tell
tour
you about
bus,
it.
Would you?
Well, no, it's not on the tour maps.
Well, that's what I mean.
I tell you about it. You're the riffraff.
We had... I'll tell you, I'll share this, actually. The same thing happened in New Zealand. We were out in... So, up near Taupo. Which is like centre of the North Island, right? And then there's loads of, obviously, mountains in New Zealand. Very beautiful country, very much like Australia in parts. Anyway, and this was in my second year outdoor adventure level to advanced stuff. So we'd be going out in the bush for a week, you know, and we did all sorts of bloody caving, abseiling, you name it. Canoeing,
stuff,
Canadian canoeing.
I love canoeing, man.
Oh, mate, it's brilliant. Anyway, it was fucking winter, right? It's freezing.
No, not like that.
It was freezing. And we went to this, it's called Hot Water Beach, right? And I forget the ranges that it's called, these specific ranges. Anyway, we were out. It's a bit more off the beaten track. It's more like you've got to be into the outdoor. It's not your general track, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, we took this... We did all this waterfall the first day, and it's like Lord of the Rings sort of stuff. Still got the pictures. And even on a phone back then, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
We did this canoeing, and we went across. I was freezing at night, and I was... Anyway, we had this... One of the lads said, look, we're going to take a small group to... in the middle of the night, we're going to go to a special location, but we can't tell you about it. Are you in, are you out? And I said, look, I said, I'm about as cold as I've ever been in my life. I said, is it worth it?
Yeah.
And they went, it's worth it. And I said, can you tell me? Like, I can't tell you. Because it was like, we had more advanced years there. And it was like, we were taking just a small, we only had one, like, we were only going to take one boat. It's the middle of the night. I said, I'm fucking freezing. I said, all right, well, after dinner, let me know if you want to do it. I said, right. So I went down the beach, and if you dig in Hot Water Beach, you dig down, it gets hotter, hence the name Hot Water Beach, because it's volcanic. So I was just down at the beach before we went off, and I just had my hands and my feet in there, and it was like, fucking dead warm. Yeah. So I was just stood there. Anyway, we got on a boat. It's fucking freezing. Right? We were all paddling out. There were about eight of us, right? Yeah, eight max. Yeah, it was eight. It was me, a couple of lads in that year, and girls, and then the main instructor, and then my mate who was in the second year. It was like facilitating. Anyway, we were paddling out. Moon was bright. It was brilliant. Dead moon. I'm freezing. Are we nearly there? Where are we going? I don't know what the fuck. I mean, I was like, fuck, I'm cold here, so I don't know where we're going. Water's like ice, you know. Paddling out. Next minute, come round like this reef. And there's a speedboat. Like, I'm talking like $1 million, like a fucking yacht thing parked up in the middle of nowhere.
And, you know, when
you've been out for a couple of days and you've not seen people or anything remotely close to, you know, today's society, modern age, you think, oh, hang on a minute, what's this big shiny speedboat just doing there, anchored up?
For me.
And I thought, hang on. And there was this sign, it was like a skull and crossbone, it was like, do not enter, and it was a serious sign, it wasn't someone just mocked up, it was a, and I was like, fuck this. And he went, is this the place? And he went, and they were sort of talking between each other, he goes, I think so. Anyway, anchored up on this like jetty near this boat, one of them jumps off, goes in the bush, disappears. And I was like, fuck, and I'm looking at this sign going, fuck, hang on a minute, like there's a boat, but then there's a sign saying, and I'm like, didn't feel right. Anyway, next 5 minutes later, he comes back, he goes, yeah, this is the place. All right, everyone out, anchors up, goes off. I'm looking at this boat as we're walking. I'm like, what's this doing out here? Anyway, comes through a trail, and I tell you what, I'll never forget this. One of the most beautiful things I've seen in my life.
Yeah.
So it's in this forestry, and there's all these rocks, and there's a river running. It's a natural river with all the volcanic water coming through, so it's warm, and they've just created all of these natural springs of fresh, crystal clear water.
Mad, isn't it?
And it's like, and there was this, through the trees, it was opening up, there was little gaps and the moon was coming in. It was like something out of a film. I didn't have my phone, we didn't take anything. These are the things you just remember, you don't need to take a picture of it.
No.
And they said, right, get in. And I said, what? And they said, get in. And we were all so calm. We got in and these baths were like spas. Oh, we spent hours, we were fucking having a chat, talking shit, playing I Spy, all that shit. I know, and it, mate, it was brilliant. And me mate, Steve, was like, you're glad you came now? I said, mate, because I was cold. He goes, that's why I wanted you to come, but I didn't want to spoil it. I couldn't tell anyone.
Yeah.
And mate, it was brilliant. And then they went, do you want to do a polar bear swim? I said, what? He goes, right now, go jump in the lake. And I said, fuck that. I mean, I would have done that now because I do a lot of cold therapy, but fuck that. Not doing that then. It was
unless you give me some money, right? You know what I mean?
Well, some of them did, but they were, I wouldn't cut out for that back then.
I did.
It was brilliant.
I went to.
Loved it.
I'll tell you a story, funny story. So. I was in India.
There you go. Do another hour. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Come on. Part two. So, bollocks to you.
Part two.
So, come on. You've got, people listening. You've got it in your ears.
I'm in India.
Toilet, come back, grab a cuppa. Be all right.
I was in India and I was at this hotel in Goa.
Yeah.
So this geezer comes up and he goes, do you want to go on a crocodile tour?
Hmm.
And I thought, crocodiles in India? You know what I mean?
Having a laugh.
I didn't know at the time that.
Well, no, you don't know.
You're not worldly.
Not when you're from back where we're from.
He's gone, oh, crocodile tour. And I'm going, yeah, right then. He says, right, meet me down the jetty 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
I thought, 4 o'clock in the morning? All right, yeah. So rocks up at the jetty 4 o'clock in the morning, gets in this boat, right? It was fucking right on the water. It's about 20 centimetres off the water, a little wooden thing with a pump on it. So the water's pumping the water out. Right. And I'm like, fucking hell, it don't look safe. Anyway, so he gets in it and he says, right, we've got to go because we've got to get down this stretch of water. And I'm like, oh, all right. And so we're going along. He says, and he's fucking checking his watch like that. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he says, oh, we've got to get through before 5 o'clock because it's a private river and the guards come on and they've got fucking guns and they can shoot you. And I'm like,
right.
Oh, all right, fucking nice one, you know what I mean?
So I get going then?
Yeah, so come on, let's get going, because otherwise you've got to go the Seaway all the way around.
Yeah.
So anyway, we get through, and you know, you see them walking up to do their like shift.
Yeah.
You think, oh, fuck, that was close, you know what I mean? Don't want to get stopped off them.
Yeah, no.
So.
I don't want to get shot.
We get to these like rivers, like canals. They wind up and down like this. All right. So we've got no shade. Fucking red hot, honestly. It's dry heat as well, so it's like 40 degrees dry heat.
Yeah.
And like, if you want to have a slash, you've got to go over the side of the boat, pretty much. You know what I mean? So, we're going up and down looking for these crocodiles, right? Fucking hours gone by. I'm thinking, he's taking a piss, this fucking idiot, you know what I mean? And then there was a big, like, tour yacht with loads of people on it, all the cameras, And I thought, oh, you're lucky, you know what I mean? I'm here with a bag of chips. Like, fucking lunch. This is the packed lunch we got for our fucking $10. Yeah. Packet of chips and a drink of water.
How many people were on this?
And it was only me on it. And,
right.
Yeah, so we're going along in this boat. And he goes, I says, fuck, I'm thinking, at this stage, I'm thinking, you're taking a piss, mate. Yeah. So we goes down this riverway, and then we sees the crocodile tracks on the dirt. Mm. He says, oh, there's one just been here. I thought, fuck, oh, your mate's been out here with a fucking stick, giving it that. You're fucking charging me. So
you're thinking, I'm about to get fucking nicked.
Yeah, so
fucking kidnapped there or something.
No, yeah, we're going to take my organs or something. So we're going up and down, and then we got fucking stuck on this sandbank.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, you'll have to jump in. And I'm like, well, fuck off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's no. Like, oh.
He says, I've got to stay. I went, oh, all right. So he says, just jump in and then we'll fucking get gone. And I'm thinking, there's crocodiles in here, you go. So anyway, I jumps in. Pardon language. So I jumps in.
Nah, it's all right, mate. And, after you all swearing before, yeah.
Yeah, I jumps in and then I push the boat off and the boat sucked off me new Nike shoes. The mud took my shoes clean off my feet.
Oh, fuck.
So I lost a brand new pair of Nikes, right? Gets back in the boat. We're going around the rivers and I'm thinking, oh, this is taking the piss, mate. You're taking the piss out of me.
Yeah.
And then goes around this corner and there's one there. Big Nile crocodile, like, fuck, it was massive, honestly. Yeah. It was like, I don't know, you can't even just bigger me arms. You know
well,
what I
mean? let's do a comparison for people watching.
It was up past them railings, mate, honestly.
So from here, past them railings?
Yeah, about that big.
How wide?
Well, it was like,
Jesus.
Massive.
Right.
I thought it was plastic, to be honest. Because I've never seen one in life, you know, in real life. So yeah. I was looking at it going, it's not moving. You know, it must because they don't
when
move,
they move,
do they? They only move when there's some food about.
But when they move, they move.
So he's like, and I'm like, fuck's up with you? He goes, oh, I've never seen one before. And I'm like, what the fuck? And that was his first ever trip, right? And then he starts throwing a Coke bottle at it.
Oh, no, a Coke bottle.
To get it to move from
I'm
it.
I'm pretty sure
I'm
they
like,
don't
wait,
eat that.
Just chill out, mate. Don't,
leave
don't,
it alone.
Don't get it moving.
Because you're in a fucking dinghy.
And he's
dinghy.
Splashing the water, trying to get it to move for me.
And you're in a dinghy?
Yeah, it was like a little wooden raft,
oh,
you know what I mean?
Fuck that shit.
And I'm like, oh, fuck this. Anyway, so I'm thinking it'll just knock us over and eat us both, mate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not what we're doing.
So anyway, we left there, and then we had to go the sea route back. So we're going over these fucking waves like this, and the pump's going and the water's flying out of the fucking back. I'm thinking we're going to drown here.
Fucking hell.
Anyway, we get back. And then we get back and he goes, oh, do you want to do the dolphin trip tomorrow? Nah, you're all right. I'll stay in the hotel,
the
mate.
Dolphin
honestly.
Trip.
Oh, mate,
he said, what,
honestly.
Are we going out on a surfboard? Are we?
Jesus, fucking mate. Him. Honestly. You've never seen out like it, eh? It's fucking mad. I'll never forget that.
But they're the things, that's travelling, that's part of it, that's the
you
good
kinda
stuff.
You kind of wish you filmed it, you know, like back
well,
in the day.
Yeah, you, the best
now
things
have
you don't.
Now you'd have your drone up like, wee, check
yeah.
me out.
Yeah,
you
but
know
the
mean,
best, but yeah, but the best things you don't have to film a lot
oh,
of
mate.
Time. And
it's
that's the
great
beauty
memory,
of it.
Mate. You
that's
never
like
it.
Storytelling is an old art and it's becoming forgotten, but it's
never
the best.
Forget it, will you? It's just one of them.
Mate,
yeah.
That's beauty. Well, look, on to the final question after that nice little escapade. That was good.
Yeah.
Can you share with us or identify a fear that you've had in your life, how you've overcame it and what you learned from it, or it could be a fear that you're still trying to
oh,
overcome?
Oh, yeah, I've still got fear. I'm still scared of heights, mate.
Heights?
Yeah.
That's your main one.
Mm. I'm all right standing on things, but if you... if
Is it
if,
a fear of heights or is it a fear of falling?
I wouldn't really know.
A lot of the time it's both.
Yeah, it could be both. Like, I've been abseiling
yeah.
and I've done it. And I've almost cried on the way down, to be honest, you know what I mean?
Mm.
But I did it.
Mm.
But if someone said, yeah, I'll go back up again and do it again, I'd be like, nah, mate, you're all right, I don't want to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm all right on scaffolding and looking off buildings and all that sort of stuff. But if someone said, yeah, I'll bungee jump that or get on a, you know what it is? I look back, do you remember, used to go to like Alton Towers?
Oh, yeah. Right. Alton's that brilliant.
Alton Towers.
Yeah, you are the nemesis.
Right, so I'm like, it was either Alton Towers or Blackpool, right?
Probably Alton Towers.
So I was about, I think it was about eight.
Yeah.
And my mum goes, do you want to go on the kids' ride?
A roller coaster.
Little kids' one.
Yeah, little roller coaster.
Yeah, all right, go on it. Yeah. So she puts me on. But she put me on the wrong fucking ride.
Wasn't so the fucking kids one, was it?
No, she put me on the adult one. Massive.
Fucking Oblivion.
Maffy. Oh, I don't know what it was, mate. It was shit, my pants, man, honestly. So it went, and all I remember is screaming for, like, the full journey, you know
what
I mean?
How old were you?
Eight. Shit myself.
So fuck your mum, ain't she?
Oh, mate, she's done that on purpose, I reckon. I don't know, but I remember getting off.
Mate, maybe this is her reverse psychology.
I was in tears, mate. And, like, from now on, everyone goes, oh, do you want to go to theme park? I'm like, no. I won't go on a ride.
Yeah,
I don't like them.
I can do them, but I've never been into them.
I can't go on them, mate. I'm scared to death of them, mate.
I don't like it. I like to be in control.
You know the big wheel?
Yeah.
Won't go on that.
Oh, really?
Scared of it.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Bumper cars?
Yeah, I like the bumper car. I like smashing things up, mate.
Of course you do. Yeah. Boom!
Yeah, give him
the boxer in you. Fucking get in there.
Smash them through the railings, mate. Bit too. Get some whiplash off that.
No, he's only three. Leave him.
Yeah.
You fucking
flip his car over.
Jesus.
But yeah, I like bumper cars, all right, mate.
There you go. So fear of heights, my friend.
Fear of heights, and that's really pretty much the only fear I have. I'm not really scared of anything, I.
Fearless, mate.
You're scared of everything, aren't you? You're always scared.
Yeah.
It's like boxing. Every time you can be in the ring 100 times. Every time you get in, you're still scared. Because you need to be scared. Because otherwise, you're getting knocked clean out. You know what I mean?
There is a level of that, but you work with fear over time. It molds you as a person. You know, it's the same with anything. There's a progression with fear.
Yeah.
And you start off, and then you can conquer greater and greater fears.
Of course you can. Yeah.
It's one of the best teachers.
If you enter the fear of not training enough is another one.
Yeah.
So if you enter a really long event and you think, "Fuck, I never did those long runs." It's in your mind that you might not get there.
Exactly.
The fear of that is bad enough. It's not like scary, but it's enough to say, ooh, hey, yo,
exactly.
Better just take it a bit easy today, you know what I mean? Because I want to make sure I finish, eh? You know, it's one of them. I think fear is a good thing, though, because if you haven't got any fear, you're not alive, are you?
No, you need it.
Do you know what I mean? You're not living, are you? So you've got to be scared of something.
Makes you feel alive. It's very
liberating. We should feel scared of everything, really. Not like I'm terrified.
Yeah.
But you should have that fear of, if I don't do something right.
There's a level of fear you need, I think, to, one, to stay alive. Because otherwise, if that sort of compass is off, I mean, you're going to do some stupid shit in your life. You got to calculate the risk, but also you need it because it's motivating.
Yeah.
And sometimes the fire is more motivating than the feathers, if you know what I mean.
Well, it's like, you know? Even in a relationship, you should have a slight little bit of fear that if you're not doing the right thing with your partner, that they might fucking leave you.
That's an episode for Charles Black.
Yeah, because if they don't... No, because if you don't got that respect for them,
yeah,
then you're just going to take the piss. And when you take the piss... They, you know, eventually they'll say, "Well, you're taking a piss, mate. Fuck them, see you later." So it's, you need a little bit in everything you do, eh?
You do.
You know,
well,
what
that's that whole yin and yang, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's that balance.
You got to give, take some. You know what I mean? It's kind of like life. You need a bit of fear to get you motivated. You know, you want to. I always think if you want something in your life special, you know, you got to have. The only thing I'd say for anyone who's starting out in sport or was thinking of getting into fitness or whatever is you just got to get your mind right. It's your mind that's the most important. You know what I mean? It's like my old fella used to say, like, you know, like, you can have a boxer in the other corner. He's no better than you. He's only got two hands. And you think, well, yeah, he's only got two hands. But, you know, I've got two hands, so we're pretty evenly matched. Do you know what I mean? That's all there is to it. You know, you just got to convince yourself that, you know, that someone's not as good as you, or you're as good as them, or you can achieve something by, you know, just putting your mind to it. You know, whether it's eating healthy. You know what I mean? I have the hardest time, I'm not shitting you, when I go to the supermarket. I have to avoid the chocolate and lolly aisle, like it's fucking next week, you know what I mean? And then I always think to myself, shit, these Kenyans must have it all right, because there's no fucking supermarkets jamming it in your face, you know what I mean? Like, you're pretty much...
Once again, black clouds and silver
linings. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you've got the greatest training ground, you've got the perfect training climate for it, you're in the Western world, everybody's jamming, like, shit at you. So you sort of, you really just want to lock yourself away from the world to train. You know what I mean?
It's a double-edged sword, my friend.
It's hard, isn't it? You know, but I watch a lot of documentaries. I watch a lot of these fighting documentaries, isn't it? And, you know, I'm a big fan of Floyd Mayweather. And he used to say, well, I train through the night. Because if I'm training, nobody, you know, they're not.
Yeah. Which is edge. Well, that's what he thought.
Yeah, but I remember a story from the Olympics.
Yeah.
Steve Cram, Steve Ovett, all right?
No. Has it gone off? No, all right. We're just on low. Look, we're low power mode. Even the phone's gone. Oh. Fuck it.
Steve Cram, the Steve Ovett, right?
Yeah, go on.
Christmas Day, just before the Olympics in, I think it was like 1984, maybe. Top of my head. Right? And Steve Ovett, Sebastian Coe was. Right. So Sebastian Coe, it was a 2 mile, I think. So Sebastian Coe, he said, I was at home and I'd trained in the morning and I thought to myself, fuck, I'm going to train again because Ovett's probably training. Mm. I'm going to train. Mm. You know what I mean? So he went out and trained. And then they did the Olympic final and Ovett won. Right? And years later, they had an interview together. And he goes, oh, do you remember that time I beat you in the Olympics or whatever? And he goes, oh, yeah. He says, what did you do Christmas Day? He went, so Seb Cole goes, oh, I trained twice. He went, only twice? So that was out 3 times. You know what I mean? Like, so it's one of them, isn't it?
There's always one up. There's always one better. You know there's always a bigger fish.
Yeah. So whether he was just taking a piss and trying to put it in his mind as well, that's why you got beat. Or he actually really did it. You know what I mean? Only he will know.
That's another can of worms. Well, not can of worms, but another avenue, like mind games in sport. Massive.
Of course it
is,
that's
why you said you've got to get your mind right.
Yeah, well, I have with social media, before a race, I'm never on it.
Mm. Not worth it. You don't compare. You compare yourself, see what else, so you can throw you off your game a little bit.
I don't want to know what they're doing, and I don't want them to know what I'm doing.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? I turn my Strava off, everything off.
Nice.
So nobody can follow me, what my sessions.
It's better to sometimes come in under the radar.
That's yeah, well, sure. I mean, obviously they're going to be checking in on you. Yeah, oh, he's ran 20 today. I'm going to do 22. You know what I mean? So
where's the benchmark?
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's why you've got to, you know, pun intended, run your own race. Now.
Yeah.
We can carry on forever, and we probably will do a round two, mate. And it's a bit.
Yeah, we'll do another one next week.
Well, that is fucking.
They said it's a new
training,
double podcast,
it's a fucking marathon podcast with a marathon man, but. I've loved it, mate. It's great.
Yeah, I could talk to you all day, mate.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? It's like we used to fucking speak. We could have recorded a podcast every time. We used to come in the day when we met.
Yeah.
In fact, we used to go for a couple of hours sometimes, didn't we?
All the time, mate.
Fucking hell, on the conversation, shit. Do a few customers, talk a bit of shit. It's great.
Yeah.
But, mate, for people who want to perhaps follow along or they want to reach out or, you know, they want a little bit more of Rob in the meantime, if you've not had enough today, mate, where's the best places to find you? Give us a shout out on your channels.
Yeah,
you're pretty under the radar.
I'm on Instagram at the TP Project.
Yeah.
That's me. I don't have many followers because I'm pretty choosy. No, I'm not gonna, I could do with everybody following me. But I'm on there. You can find me down at the GC50 Run Festival. I'm always doing a little bit for them. That's pretty much it, mate, to be honest, eh? You know what I mean? Mm. I'm pretty much either training or racing.
That's it, mate.
I'm not really bothered about, like, I like
simple pleasures.
Yeah, I like followers, I like Instagram, and any promotion's good.
Mm.
You know what I mean? If there's any sponsors want to throw me some more gear, that's brilliant. But,
typical fucking man.
Yeah, nobody. Oh yeah, chuck us a car.
Yeah, sort us out, mate.
But it's kind of like, I just like doing what I'm doing. You know what I mean? I'm not too fussed.
Yeah.
Who's following me? As long as they're enjoying following me. You know what I mean? Don't follow me if you're not interested.
Yeah.
What's the point?
More organic and genuine.
You know what I mean?
That's
yeah.
For sure.
Like I follow a few people, but I follow you, but I don't follow everyone. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
But I like some of your podcasts.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You better, really, that's how it should be. You should follow someone because you want to follow it. And and you're sort of up to date. It's like people will say, didn't you not watch my story? I said, look, I'm sorry, but I don't got time. Yeah, no, I didn't. Like, I'm more of a, and that's not me being arrogant, but like, I'm a fucking,
to do, mate.
I sort of create, don't consume. And I do, and the stuff I do consume is people who are my good friends, or the things that, or the people, or entities and companies that provide a value for me. Because otherwise, I'd be bombarded. I'd be fucking watching everyone's stuff. It's got to be selective, isn't it?
It's one of them, isn't it? I mean, you and plus, you don't want to be looking at all the shit that's not useful to yourself.
Well, mate, this is the problem. It's an over-filtered era. Or under-filtered. And then, well, it's over-filtered, but under, you got over-filtered because everyone's doing what they're doing and it's smoking mirrors. But then a lot of the time as well, it's, you need to filter it out because there's so much shite coming in. So
yeah,
you need to
I mean,
it's under-filtered, but you're bombarded with shit.
I do like following posts that are like, you know, relevant. I don't care if you're taking a selfie in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, what's wrong with you, to be honest?
Yeah.
Like, take your camera and fucking do something good with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Show me a good post and I'll watch it.
Exactly. If you want a bit of value. You want a bit of realism.
If I can take a picture of myself or look at myself. You know what I mean? I like looking at myself in the mirror. You get better at looking every day, innit?
So yeah, it's, love yourself before you love others.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, do something positive.
For the
Right.
Let's wrap it up. Jesus.
Fuck, is that the time?
Thought I could fucking talk. Jesus.
Is that the time?
Two of us together. Christ, Jesus. What have we done? We've done over 2 hours. That's a belt of that, mate.
Two hours.
Because I've got a fucking train now. It's a good thing about it, isn't it? Being your own boss. Right. So, no. But for people who want to follow along, I will put Rob's links to your Instagram
in
the description. Everything, anything that relevant that we've mentioned. Guys, as always, thank you for watching. Thank you for tuning in. Appreciate it. Remember, if you liked it, share it with someone that you think is going to get some value out of this, one of your mates, something like that. Remember to give us a rating and a review on iTunes, Spotify, whatever you listen to. It's not hard. We appreciate it. The audience is growing. So if you could do me that favor, just go now. If it's safe to do so, you're not driving, go scroll down, give us a rating, short, sharp, sweet. Only 5 stars, I'm joking. Whatever you think it is, appreciate it. And you've got to say it, if you're on the YouTube, like, share, comment, subscribe, hit that bell icon for weekly videos. And as ever, until the next episode next week, in the meantime, stay fearless.